If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I just love peanut butter and would like people to be that I could talk to peanut about with peanut butter.
You will never be a great disc jockey. You have lousy voice, lousy personality, and this will not change. Okay? So on the air is not for you.
Let me explain something to you, all right? Cripples are not cool.
Peter, what the hell is that all about?
It's a message, Joe. I don't want you and your kind eating here anymore. You're ruining what was supposed to be a cool establishment.
Peter, you're one of my closest friends. Are you telling me that you have a problem with me being handicapped?
As a matter of fact, Joe, yes, I think it's immoral. It's a lifestyle choice you're forcing on America.
We handicapped are a proud people.
Yeah, when you're not drinking and gambling on your reservations, which we gave you.
And now,
let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Our feature presentation.
Which Family Guy was that from? That's awesome.
I know, it's great.
A few weeks back, I guess.
I missed that one.
Peter and Lois bought a restaurant, and they wanted it to be the cool place. And then Joe, who's in a wheelchair, and his handicapped friend started showing up. So Peter got all upset because now it wasn't the cool place anymore. That was awesome. That's Patrick Warburton, of course, who plays Joe on the show, and he's fantastic.
Yeah, that is so wrong on every level. I love that.
I know. It's the best.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 23rd of Aprilingus. How was the weekend, everybody?
Saw Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I didn't get a chance.
So funny.
So wanted to go see that. Is
really
it funny?
Really good, yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And that play, but never mind.
Yeah.
I saw The Hoax.
Oh, how was that?
Very good. Very good.
That's the one where the dude wrote the story about the dude?
Yeah, and I knew this is a journalist who faked an autobiography with Howard Hughes, who was a famous reclusive billionaire, and figured he almost correctly so that he could get away with it because Howard Hughes didn't talk to anybody. So who was ever gonna bust him on it, right?
Yeah.
He just figured Howard Hughes would never say anything about
it. That's brilliant.
But he got busted on it. But there's a lot more going on in the story that I didn't remember hearing about when I learned the story about how it extended all the way up to the Nixon White House. I mean, it's got a lot of intrigue, and Richard Gere is very good at it. So.
Yeah, and I saw it a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't think that was true at first. Like, they had just built that into the story, but it's all true.
Like it was
fake. Turns out it's all true.
Crazy.
Yeah.
How does it involve the Nixon White House?
Well, Howard Hughes kind of uses this guy's fake book to his advantage to get some stuff done through the government that he wants to get done.
He feeds him some material.
Material, right? So yeah. It's actually pretty well done. I thought it was real good. I did not get to the Hot Fuzz, and I did not get to any plays either.
I wanted to see the TV set too, and it's only playing in three places, so I couldn't get over there.
Yeah,
wanted to see that bad. When is that going to open wide?
I don't know. I don't. I think it's pretty much a Lemley thing.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I can't imagine it'll open.
I don't either.
It might, depending on how it does, but yeah, right. I want to see that too.
I have a Lemley near my house.
You do, I know.
But I mean, it is all 50-year-old people.
And you just won't go on.
Well, no, it's
principle?
Not there. It's not there yet. But when get there, at least it has bad seats and a tiny screen and bad sound.
Yeah,
so that's everything you want in a movie theater.
You got that going for
you. Popcorn's not great either. I'm gonna tell you, usually really old.
They do have some upscale snacks. They do have like hot dog burger sandwich. I don't know what, some weird stuff, but they have some pretty good stuff.
Oh, that's good.
They try to make up for the bad carpet and the sticky floor and
the bad seats.
Bad. You know what? That's an adult theater near my house. That's different.
That's good.
Thinking of something else.
I got confused.
You're wondering why there's seating for one in a booth, right?
Yes, like I saw the Hopkins and Ryan Gosling movie.
You saw Fracture?
Oh, Fracture.
Really? Yeah. How was it?
It's all right. It's not great.
Yeah, reviews were.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not a waste of your money. I mean, that's a lot of good actors in it.
All much happier with our choices.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of just unnecessary additions to the plot, and it's kind of.
You didn't go to the movies.
I know. Like, lately, my wife's been forcing me to
do stuff.
I just got
like 2 in 2 weeks or something.
Yeah,
what's going on?
My wife's keeping me on a short leash lately.
My wife's been forcing me to do stuff, he says. He'd rather just sit there in the dark and just marinate.
Well, here's the thing. If she doesn't want to go to a movie,
he doesn't go. Yeah.
He won't go by himself. Which, if I didn't go by myself, I'd almost never go to a movie.
Which is odd, because in college, I went to a movie by myself numerous times a week. I mean, it was like, that's all I did.
And right. Now it's just weird?
Yeah, or... now I just remain in seclusion in the third wing of my home by the fire.
Sure you do.
Listening to classical music.
With a
with pipe? Tissue paper on your tissue paper boxes on your feet.
Well, okay. There's nothing that's more suited to going by yourself than a movie.
I know.
That's true.
I love that when you just have that thought and the next minute you're out the door.
Yeah.
And on then, your way.
You know, you have 4 minutes until it starts. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I love more than anything in the whole world, though, is
stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
That's what I love.
Oh, no.
Bing.
That could be the best thing I've ever heard.
What were you listening to, Psycho Mike? Because this is spectacular.
It's amazing.
Someone who will remain nameless gave me a CD of Rodney on Friday. That is it's just a mixture of his broadcast. And like Bean says, it sounds like, I guess, when he used to do a flashback show, like a catch of the day
right.
type mm-hmm. thing. And it's just a mixture of him in the studio, both on the air and off the air. And it's a long CD. And within it are gems.
Many
gems,
nuggets.
Gems, I say.
Rodney's greatest hits.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
When do we get to hear this?
We may have to go through the whole thing because there's just...
This is going to blow your mind.
Yes, it is. It's going to blow your mind.
Can't wait.
I swear to God, he's drunk. I think he's drunk.
I heard parts of it. He's something.
Yeah.
He had a little more life in him back then. I think this tape is quite old.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Like 40 years old?
Yeah. I think it's like 40 years old. I think when he was still in his middle ages.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Can do that again. Man, I hate the 90s. Hey. Wait a minute. Hey, it's Rodney here.
What the
hell?
That
was really funny. Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. That's
he's moving at the speed of light compared to now.
It's bizarre.
Rodney hasn't laughed since the 90s, let's face it.
Oh, my God, that's spectacular.
He cracked himself up.
We just need Lightning to go, bow, 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 bow. We got ourselves a hit, right? We got ourselves a hit.
Totally.
That's good times right there.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi. Right.
Rodney, we don't have time.
Je vous ai touché à Martin.
Right. Okay. You hold on. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We are going to have to schedule it.
Have we heard from our pal Ralph Garman, by the way? Is he alive?
He's here.
He's in the other room.
Okay, good. Hadn't heard a word. Just want to make sure he was okay. I know he was sick on Friday.
He is here, yes. Later on today, we got to talk to Dave, the King of Mexico, who should also be back from his cruise.
He's here.
I can't wait.
Fantastic.
Dave.
Unfortunately, you know how it's going to go with Dave. You're going to call him in to laugh at the Clippers not making the playoffs, and all he's going to do is mock the Lakers. You know that's going to happen, as if that's some defense for his Clippers. He's going to say, oh, yeah?
Why? Because they lost a game in the playoffs?
In the playoffs, of course. That's how Dave works. You know how he rolls.
That's how he rolls. We debuted his song on Friday, and it's pretty spectacular. I mean, it rules.
It's a hit.
Maybe it was Friday, maybe it was Thursday, I don't remember. But it's a hit. Yeah, I'm going to go out and get it. So we're going to talk to Dave about that today because he conveniently was out of the country last week.
Yeah.
So he talks smack all season long and then leaves the country when they don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's unacceptable. Psycho Mike interviewing the cast of Heroes. It's finally back tonight. I know NBC hasn't mentioned it, but it actually is on in tonight. So that's good. And Psycho Mike got most of the cast members. So he's going to talk to them.
He's the right guy to send, by the way, because he's never seen the show.
Well, that's how we do it. That's how we roll. We send somebody who's never seen it. And we're going to have those interviews in about a half hour here on K-Rock. We have Minnie Driver today.
Oh, from Riches.
I love that, The Riches.
Isn't it great?
Yes. I've kind of been taping it, but I haven't been able to keep up on it. So I watched a couple episodes over the weekend. Wow, that's good.
It's getting better and better,
yes,
I think.
Yes, I love that show. So we're going to talk to her today coming up. We have Santiago Cabrera. He plays Isaac on Heroes. We have him coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're excited about that.
Cool.
We have Mark Cronin and Chris Abrigo, who came up with the Girls of Flavor of Love, Charm School, with Monique. I'm going to talk to them coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Love that show. Michael Jackson, Father of the Year.
Of course.
Coachella tickets.
Dude.
Got another game for you for that, because that is finally coming out this weekend. Friday, yes. Saturday, Sunday. Coming out like it's a movie. It's actually happening this weekend. I cannot wait. And so we're going to give you your Coachella tickets coming up as well. You get to pick the day that you want to go today.
All right.
So we will tell you how to win those tickets coming up. Ralph is here. He's got the Showbiz Beat, and that's coming up next on... Do you get beat up every day on your way into work?
I feel like it,
what
yes.
What happens to you?
You got rolled in the parking lot?
He looks worse every day. His hair's all sticking out.
Hey, good morning.
He says me and he rolls into the office.
What happened to you? we're doing that whole thing right now where we let the kid cry all night to try and so we can get some sleep.
How long have you been doing that? It's supposed to only take 2 or 3 days.
Forever.
4 years.
Oh, you my should God. See his hair is just sticking out like he just stuck his finger in his
eye. My eyes are puffy. My hair. I mean, I took a shower, but I didn't put anything in it. And I had a hat, and then I just left it in the truck. I'm like, screw it.
No, it's a good look. You should go with that. Yeah. You should stick with that.
Very healthy. Shake them till they're quiet, man. That's the answer right there.
No, if you want them to sleep tonight, you just give them a dry cleaning bag to play with. One of those plastic dry cleaning bags.
Good.
What's wrong?
I don't know much about parenting, but I heard that's a good time.
No, that does work. It's 5:48 Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's your last chance to get inside the Coachella Festival this weekend. You choose the day. We've got a chance for you to win coming up right now. It's Monday, as I mentioned. Ralph is here with the first look at the showbiz beat. Ralph, how you feeling, Ralph? You all right?
Much better, yeah. I was a little ill on Friday. Here's the thing. You get used to eating a certain way when you live in Los Angeles.
Right. Sure.
And you just can't eat that way everywhere you go.
What do you mean?
I was out with friends on Thursday night. And we went to a pub downtown in Philadelphia, where I'm from. And
so you're eating a lot of alcohol?
No, I ended up, he says, oh, you got to try this dish here. It's great. The seared tuna.
Seared tuna.
It's like raw tuna, you know, then they just put spices on the outside and grill it up, you know.
Yeah. Sounds healthy.
Sounds healthy, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going, you know, this doesn't taste great. I'm just, you know, the seafood on the West Coast just must be fresher because we live near an ocean, you know, and Philadelphia's near a polluted river. And I think that's where they got this tuna from.
Yeah.
Because then around 4 o'clock in the morning, it was...
You were farting a lot?
That was the beginning. And then the dam broke.
Then it all...
On both ends. I didn't know whether I was pitching or catching.
I was just asking how you were feeling. I didn't really need this kind of play-by-play, actually.
You were pitching or catching?
I didn't know if I was pitching or catching.
Well, all right.
Yeah. So...
No fish could do that to you.
So good morning, everyone. Enjoy your breakfast.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the weekend's hot movies at the box office, shall we? Disturbia, number one for 2 weeks in a row. Made an additional $13.5 million, good enough to keep it at number one. Fracture, a new Anthony Hopkins film, came in at number two in its debut weekend, $11.2 million it made. Blades of Glory was third, still a very popular film out there. $7.8 million was good enough to make it number three. Vacancy, the new horror movie with Kate Beckinsale. And one of the Wilsons. I can never tell the two of them apart.
I believe it's Luke.
It's Luke.
You can't tell them apart either.
Number four at the box.
They don't look anything alike, you guys. You know that, right?
They're not distinct enough for me to remember which name is which. Which one's Luke and which one's Owen? I don't know. There's the blonde one and the brown one. That's all.
And you never really see them together. So it's like...
It could be a wig. Who knows?
That's one of them. I don't know.
That's right. Who knows? Meet the Robinsons, number five at the box office. Hot Fuzz was six. Are We Done Yet was number seven. In the Land of Women. New film starring that dude from the OC is number eight. Perfect Stranger was number nine. And Wild Hogs, still hanging in the top ten.
Wow.
Only made $2.9 million this weekend, but that was enough to make it number 10 on the list.
It'll never fall off the list as long as Omar keeps taking friends every weekend.
That's true.
Dude, my parents just saw that.
When your parents get to it, you know it's pretty much over.
My God.
Speaking of movies, the New York Post is claiming that Spider-Man 3 is the most expensive movie ever made.
Really?
Sony Pictures says the film only cost $270 million to make.
Oh, my God.
Only. But privately, insiders are saying it cost over $300 million to make. New York Post, however, is claiming they've got a report that says when it's all told with special effects, when they're finally finished, the stars' salaries, everything involved in making the film, close to $500 million was spent on Spider-Man 3.
What's the second, third place ones? Are they?
It does not say here, but
150 or something. I mean, it's like, wait.
Well, I know the Lord of the Rings movies were capping were around $200 million when they were last two. Yeah,
wasn't that Costner movie supposed to be way expensive?
Waterworld. Oh, that's a long time ago. That cost like $100 million.
I got passed.
At the time, it was very expensive, but yeah.
How about that?
But here's the thing. It'll make almost $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Domestically and internationally when it's all said and done with box office.
They'll be fine.
That's risky.
The money will come back. So, Spider-Man 3. By the way, you may have heard a lot of rumors about Tobey Maguire claiming that this was his last Spider-Man film. Now he's starting to back off that a little bit because they are developing Spider-Man 4 already. And he said if the script is decent, that it's very likely he'll return as Spider-Man. So, Jake Gyllenhaal has to hold off on buying that house.
The script is decent.
Alec Baldwin apologized over the weekend for his outburst on his daughter's answering machine over the weekend.
Oh, that was ugly.
Yeah, he wrote on a website, "All parents lose their patience with their kids, and I'm most saddened that this was released to the media because of what it does to a child. I'm sorry, as everyone who knows me is aware, for losing my temper with my child, but I've been driven to the edge by parental alienation for many years now. You have to go through this to understand, although I hope you never do. I'm sorry for what happened, and I'm equally sorry that a court order was violated, which had been deliberately put under seal in this case. And Friday also, Baldwin's attorney filed a court order Friday to determine how the tape got leaked. Yeah. And who's to blame?
Gee, I wonder.
Could it be Kim Basinger, his ex-wife? Could it be her attorneys? He's even asking them to look into Harvey Levin and TMZ.com. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
Dude, that was his message to Harvey. So,
you know, I heard that as damaging as those words were from her father to the 11-year-old, that Alec Baldwin's attorneys are going to try to turn around and say, but that's nothing compared to whoever leaked it, because now she's subject to the scorn of all of her friends.
Look, the public humiliation has to be worse than the phone call. Absolutely.
So he's going to try to turn this around and make it look like he's the good guy and Kim is the bad guy.
Well, I don't know if he's the good guy, but whoever leaked that thing didn't do her the girl any favors.
No.
Harvey kind of made it sound like the girl had something to do with the leak.
Yeah, well,
remember
he was
when
just,
he said,
I guess we find out.
My understanding is she's not upset about this.
He wouldn't tell us, yeah. He was just being very vague about it. But.
That's because he's going to jail. Baldwin's going to throw his ass in jail. That's what's going to happen.
Harvey is usually damn smart.
Harvey's
about
going
that,
down.
That lawyering stuff.
Harvey's going
not.
Down.
He's not going down. He's not even in jail yet, Ralph.
See?
I'm just saying, Harvey, if you need someone to bail you out, then call us.
Yeah, we'll that's love. What you're saying.
No, that's what I'm telling. I'm telling we'll support Harvey, and if he gets in any trouble, give us a call, and we'll do what we can for him. So we like that dude.
Done?
Yeah.
We're going to be a lot of help to him.
New business magazine called The American has compiled an excellent list of the most overpaid and underperforming celebrities in the United States.
Kevin.
This is good times.
Over?
Yeah, top of the list right there.
Oh, sorry.
Katie Couric. Who's getting $15 million a year for hosting the CBS Evening News.
Which is not doing well.
And the ratings have been less since she joined than they were before she came on board.
Yeah, that's tough. That's
not the fill-in guy, Bob Schieffer, was killing her in the ratings.
It's not what you want to bring to the table when they're giving you $15 mil. Sharon Stone made $14 million for Basic Instinct 2. That's double the amount the film made in the United States.
Oh, that hurts.
Only made $7 million in box office. They paid her alone $14 million to get that movie made. Halle Berry, who is currently demanding $16 million per movie after bombs like Gothica and Catwoman and every other piece of crap she makes. Yeah. So.
What was the good one she was in that she got the award for?
Monsters Ball.
Monsters Ball.
It was like 47 years ago.
That's about it.
There. Yeah.
What's the one she's in now with Bruce Willis that I noticed is not even in the top 10 anymore?
Not even.
It's already gone after a week.
Are we bad yet?
How do you keep a secret?
Right.
How far?
Secret liars who tell lies.
Email Ralph at krock.com.
Kevin at krock.com. He wants to know what that is.
At krock.com.
The long-running Broadway show The Producers has closed its doors after 6 years.
Wow.
2,500 performances. The final performance was given this weekend at the St. James Theater in New York. Tony Danza starred in the final performance. Which can explain why maybe the door is closed after 6 years.
Wow.
That theater is currently being closed and revamped. They're going to do work on the stage because soon they will be opening with Young Frankenstein, the musical, another Mel Brooks movie.
No kidding.
That would be fun.
Based on the Mel Brooks movie of the same name. He's currently writing and getting ready to produce that, so that could be fun.
You know, The Producers is in Vegas now.
That's right.
With Hasselhoff.
Don't hassle the Hoff. That's all I ask you.
That's going to keep it alive.
Lindsay Lohan. Admits to being a bit irresponsible, when she was filming that movie Georgia Rule.
Oh, yeah.
This was in an interview with Allure magazine. This was the movie where the CEO of the film's production company had to send out that public letter saying that you are discourteous, irresponsible, unprofessional, constantly late on the set, and that legal action would be taken if she kept screwing with the production any further.
So she's admitting that she was bad?
Well, she said she may have been a bit irresponsible during that, but in her defense... She was having problems with her boyfriend, Harry Morton, at the time. And she says, I was going through something in my life. Well, that's a good enough reason, I think, to F everyone over on an entire production and show up late and then go into your trailer and not come out for a while.
There's no job where you stand up more people than
a movie set.
A movie
when
set.
You're the star of that film.
Yeah. Hundreds of people.
Comes to a screeching halt. Work just comes to a screeching halt. Just teamsters sitting around eating donuts, waiting for something to do. Because she was having trouble with her boyfriend of the week. How long did she date that guy? Like a month?
Yeah.
Stop it.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
Tell him, Alec. And looks like we've seen the last of the Gorillaz.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Damon Albarn of Blur says the band is working on a film animated film, of course, based on the animated band. But their days are numbered, and another album is not part of the plan. So this may be the final hurrah for the Gorillaz, if you're a fan of that.
That's too bad.
Fictional cartoon band.
They do real music, though.
I know. So did the Archies, you know? But, come on. Wow. Today's celebrity birthdays.
First Archies reference. Well, not only of the 21st, but probably of the 20th century.
I'm sorry, Josie and the Pussycats? I mean, if you're going to make a cartoon band, that's who you're lumped in with. Sorry.
I guess. Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Here's the thing. Remember Shirley Temple, the little girl from the movies?
Yes.
Who was a movie star back when the earth cooled?
Yes.
Yes.
She's only 79 years old today.
Doesn't what?
Because she was famous when she was like... two, that's why. She was famous for an entire lifetime and then had a whole other lifetime as an ambassador and all this other crap. And she's only 79, which seems old. But when you think about Shirley Temple, it seems like there was just dirt and dinosaurs and Shirley Temple. And still 79.
They put out the movies on actual stones.
They
on
did.
Rocks.
They had birds carving them. It's a living. I saw it in the Flintstones. That's how they did it. Lee Majors, Colonel Steve Austin from the $6 Million Man, is 68 years old today. Michael Moore, documentary director, is 53 years old today. Valerie Bertinelli, there we go, is 47 years old today. Have you seen her new commercials for Jenny Craig?
No, yes. I haven't. I saw Jenny her Craig on the cover of People.
Yeah, saying, hey, I'm fat.
Fat.
George Lopez is 46 years old today. And Melina Kanakaridis.
What was
She's
that
hot.
Noise?
She is hot.
I can't. She got a bell.
Who is that?
No, barely. No reluctance to give Valerie Bertinelli a bell.
Yeah, I know.
And hesitating.
And you're squeaking out Kanakaridis?
Who is she?
She's the detective on CSI New York. She was also in that show Providence. Was on NBC.
You recognize her. Curly,
she's been on TV a lot.
Really curly dark hair, very striking blue eyes, very beautiful features.
No. Not ringing a bell.
You're familiar with CSI New York with Gary Sinise?
Yes.
She is his partner on that show. She's a detective on that show.
I think I can picture her.
You think you can?
I do believe
I'm
going
to get a bird to carve a picture in stone for you. She is 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So if I understand correctly, what you're saying is that tonight at 9, if I turn on Channel 4, I'm actually going to see a new episode of Heroes for the first time since I was a teenager. That's what you're telling me. The show is coming back tonight.
I believe that's true, yes.
Okay. Wow. Yes. Fantastic. Now, they had some sort of a screening of an episode or so, Mike. Is that what it was? And you were down there with the K-Rock microphones and all the cast, right?
You got it, big man.
Now, Ralph was gone, right? When was this? When did you do this?
Last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah.
Ralph was leaving the next day for Philadelphia.
He was.
And Bean was, of course, and I was busy with my thing.
So thing to do, that place to go.
Unfortunately, we sent Psycho Mike to the Heroes thing, and he interviewed most of the cast. Now, what you need to know about Psycho Mike is...
Big fan of the show. That's what you need to know.
Hasn't watched the show once.
Not ever.
Not one time.
And by the way, as an aside, this is one of the things that we admire so much about Mike. The hottest show on television, a show that all of us love and come in every week talking about how great it is, He won't give it a second. Won't even tune in one time to see what it's all about.
He's kind of like you in that way, Bean, is that he makes his decision on what not to watch by what all of us who know him pretty well think he'll like the most.
Just kind of seems
so we say, dude, Borat, going to be one of the funniest movies you'll ever see. Didn't see it for 6 months until it came out on DVD.
The thing is that I'm very wrapped up watching... for instance, the behind the scenes of the Mekong Delta during the Vietnam War on Discovery Military Channel.
Discovery Military is about all he watches.
And Dan Busters.
Because there's a lot of domination on that channel.
But see, what the rest of us will do is, if we all say, Bean, we kind of know your taste, you'll like such and such a show. What he'll do is, most likely, just check it out.
Right.
Yeah. And then Lisa will make suggestions, and I'll check it out, and I'll make suggestions, and everybody else will check it. Everybody else checks it out based on what everybody else says. You pretty much go the opposite way.
Yeah. What night's it on? Tonight?
Sunday's at 9.
Oh, my God.
Bean just said it was on tonight.
Yeah,
it's coming back tonight.
Hey, look, I did the
interviews.
I like you people. You're good to me. I'll give it a shot.
Well, it's nice of you.
Thanks for doing us a favor. All right, so you talked to these people. Now, did you have somebody pointing out who they were and something about their character so you didn't embarrass K-Rock when you asked questions?
They sent a promotions guy with me, Big E-Man, I like to call him, and he was very helpful. He was indispensable.
Okay. I have visions of, you know, little Hayden Panettiere stepping up and you going, so who are you on the show? And then we look like doofuses.
That didn't happen. And, you know, when you do the red carpet, you get a sheet of, like, who they are, the cast name, and then their real name, the actor's name.
They give you a sheet with that information on it?
Yeah.
So I never gave Bean and I that.
So,
ever.
I mean, I have a little bit going for it. So I'm not going to completely fail and go, hey, who are you and what do you do? But, I mean, I was totally, like, stretching to try to ask these generic questions. Seems like it's a difficult show to work on. Is that true? You know, from
what's it like CGI? Being a hero?
Is it hard working with the blue screen? Because it seems to be difficult.
So the first person that Mike talked to, there was a little bit of a question about how you say his last name.
Yeah.
George Takei. How do you say it exactly?
I don't object to Takei, because that translates into English as expensive. But I'm Takei, which doesn't mean cheap either.
Mr. Takei, I'd appreciate your candor on this. Star Wars is for pussies, right?
No.
You know, your voice is like, it's like chiffon tickling my eardrums. It's just so pleasant to the ear.
You're a poet. Chiffon tickling your eardrums.
I hope to have a long and successful career in broadcasting. Can you give me any tips on how to develop such a pleasing voice as yours?
You know, you really should be on television. You're a dashing-looking guy.
Really?
Yeah, matinee idol profile.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, so people should see you as well as hear you.
That's quite an endorsement coming for you, Mr. Takei.
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 Well, I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know how how it went with talking about the show, but a love connection was definitely made between you and Sulu there.
And he's the first guy I talked to, so I'm thinking, hey, this is going to be a good night.
Here's what you need to know about Psycho Mike. A, doesn't watch the show. B, Psycho Mike loves himself some Psycho Mike.
Well,
he does.
There may be a shortage of me watching Heroes. Really no shortage of me watching myself in the mirror.
He loves some him. And basically, I'll just kind of spoil it up front, as everyone that comes up to talk to him, he talks to them about himself.
Yeah. What do you think of me? But how do I look?
Okay.
When you're on Heroes on Monday nights, are you thinking about me at home watching you?
Exactly.
I like to think that the people I was interviewing incited the Psycho Mike talk more than
sure,
I did.
Of course they did.
They can't help it.
Now, Greg Grunberg is the next guy that you talk to.
Very cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool guy.
He's the cop on the show. He can hear other people's thoughts.
Yeah.
And here's them talking about Psycho Mike.
You know, you were on Lost and got killed off.
Yeah, and they made a big mistake. I mean, look what happened.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you get Greg Grunberg, don't kill him.
Now, do you ever call any of the cast members on Lost and go, look who's laughing now, bitch?
Exactly. Well, I'm on the cover of Geek Magazine now, so I can sort of rub that in JJ's face.
Just a second ago, you were doing an interview for another station, and some girls waved at you in a car?
Yes.
Now, this is a true story, right?
Yeah. This is totally a true story.
Some girls driving by the street waved and yelled.
And, you know, total, like, teeny bopper screaming, ah! And they're waving at him, and he's like, hey, baby, doing the whole movie star thing. Yes. That girl said, I thought he was George Clooney. I about crashed the car. You just got...
Shut up.
Am I lying, dude?
Not lying.
Wow, that's amazing. Am I that old?
You're that handsome.
What is this?
It's a little pendant.
Is this some charity pendant or just a little pendant?
Just thought it looked good.
Wow.
I like birds.
Does it come in men's?
It matches my lining, dude.
It matches my lining,
what
dude.
What is going on here? Are you giving parting gifts to your interviewees?
So he was asking about your necklace?
No, like I had like a little pin on my lapel of my sport coat.
You had a bird pin on a sport coat?
Yeah.
What kind of choice is that?
It was a unique one.
I'm not a fashion mogul, but for God's sake.
Yeah, listen, you got a lot of balls.
Hey,
you and Bean, by the way.
A bird pin?
Yes.
All right. Haitian guy. Tell us about that guy.
Haitian guy is one of those guys that's so handsome that it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Kind of like you?
Well, no. I mean, like, really. I mean, I guess he plays a Haitian guy on the show. Big, big stretch for him. I mean, it's a huge departure from his
watch
real
it.
Life.
It's good.
Okay? Because he's this Haitian guy.
Right.
And, you know, he's really handsome, and he has a really crazy accent. So I'm like...
The other man in the cast hate you because you're so handsome.
Handsome?
Yes.
You talking to me?
Are you talking to me? Is it me you're speaking to?
That was something hard to get, Mike. I guess it was modesty. I don't know what he was doing
there. What some people do is they don't brag about their own looks.
Yeah.
And they're maybe a little uncomfortable even with compliments.
Well, he should get accustomed to this culture and quit that Haitian crap. Modesty.
Did you ask him whether he thought you were handsome as well?
Of course.
Or if you were more handsome than he was?
No, it was an automatic segue, Mr. Bean.
Between you and I, who's more handsome? I don't know why you're George Takei.
I know. Takei. Seriously.
All right. Tiny Cypress?
Now, this is a good-looking woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This is a good-looking woman. She is...
She's Simone, for folks who don't recognize the name. She's the one who got killed in Isaac's studio a couple weeks ago, and right. then briefly came back in as the shapeshifter took her form. But yeah, she's awesome.
She's a Nubian princess with mm-hmm. beautiful long curly hair and bright green eyes. Mm.
Try not to look so fly. All the ladies are going to swarm you.
I'm pretty rad, aren't I?
Okay, that's it. That's now, all we have.
That's
it?
That's what we got from her.
Are you kidding?
Now, try not to look so fly. I am pretty rad,
aren't
I?
That's it? That's all we get?
Okay, thanks for stopping by.
She let off with that. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Ask some questions about the show?
Well, you know, Lisa May, I'm sorry. If they want to concentrate on the matter at hand, I'm not going to be the one to, you know, force them into talking about this show
but
that everybody
like
supposedly
heroes.
Watches.
We're interested
show.
In hearing about heroes, Mike.
Yeah.
Can't you leave the compliments in so that your ego is satiated, but go ahead and leave in some
Never!
Others? Some stuff about the show? Allie Larder?
Yeah, Allie Larder.
Now, I know that the only true, genuine emotions that you can bring across on camera are those that you can draw upon from personal experience. That being said, how much research went into being a stripper?
I got online and did a little checking of it out. But, you know, what I saw, which I thought was interesting, is that actually, like, most of the girls' eyes look kind of hollow.
They're all dead inside.
Ah! But I will tell you, episode 20, which we're airing soon, is 5 years in the future. It's a cautionary tale. And you will see me do some very interesting moves on a pole, so.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what she said.
That's what I'm talking. She did just say that, yeah.
See, that's some real information.
We actually heard it, Mike.
Did you see that? She's talking about an upcoming episode.
Some no, insight to you.
Some insight to the viewers.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wow, one interview. You didn't talk about yourself. Okay. Quinto?
Yeah. It's this guy. His name's... But it's Quinto.
Quinto.
Found out. See, that's some other insight for these huge Heroes fans. Don't call him Quinto. Call him Quinto.
I like your little bit. There.
I was about to say, first thing, great outfit.
Yeah, totally. Modern amusement. Way to go.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, totally.
You're the first person to compliment me on my outfit and not pick on me.
It's nice. Looks nice. People pick on you?
Yeah. You and I both look good.
That can't be it, right?
That's it.
No, yeah. That can't be it.
Well, he had a really nice outfit on. He had a really nice suit. He did.
Okay, first of all, heterosexual guys don't say the word outfit. Just in
and
general.
Second of all, how about thinking, hey, it's a radio interview, we're talking about heroes. Maybe say, here's the guy who plays Sylar.
You know,
something maybe about the character.
You know, they were walking down a long line of journalists.
Right.
And they're talking about heroes. Look, heroes.
Right, but
okay. And then they get to me, and it's like a sweet little bit of relief, an escape, just momentary.
You think it's an escape for them
a
to talk about you?
Momentary escape.
It's an oasis of unprofessionalism.
So the rest of us that like heroes, you're not interested in. You just want us to hear about you.
No, I mean, I tried my best.
It sounds like it. So
I'm just saying.
The cheerleader.
Yeah.
Hayden.
Okay.
Well, let's take bets. You think he talks about heroes, A, or B, himself?
I say B.
B.
Sexier Latin heartthrob. Me or Wilmer Valderrama?
Okay, so that's the beginning of the interview with Hayden.
Nicely done.
Well, see, the thing is, with a big star like Hayden,
yes,
I can't warm her up with the jabs to the body. I got to come with the Widowmaker, Kevin, right from the start.
You start with that?
Yeah. She's the type, you know what I'm
saying?
But
what if she ducks that and gets you an uppercut?
Well, you know, as a fighter, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. You roll with the punches, you know what I'm saying?
Sexier Latin heartthrob, me or Wilmer Valderrama?
Okay, now this, you can't do this to me because I see him all the time.
Yes, and now you're seeing me.
See you again.
Be honest and objective.
I think you're both very sexy. So.
Yes, you got that right, sister.
Oh, dear God.
You want more? I tell you, man, this lacks the feel of professionalism.
It does.
You want more from
more
her?
More of what?
You want more from her? Don't have it. That's it.
Oh, come on.
That's what we got.
You Why? Interviewed the cheerleader. You don't talk to her about saving the world?
No. I mean, is that a big plot point?
No, not at all. Okay. Ralph brought up a story last week that seemed odd to us, but the magazine Sister to Sister, which, of course, I get on a monthly basis, said that Michael Jackson is a great father of the year.
Michael Jackson.
No.
Based on
Jamie Foster Brown, who publishes the magazine, uh-huh, and traveled with him and his children in Japan. And she says that he is an amazing father.
Okay.
More so than you and I, she said.
Well, if she means he can relate to them on a childlike level, I'll give him that.
Nope. Father of the Year, Michael Jackson.
Hmm. Well, that certainly flies in the face of everything we've grown to think about Michael Jackson. But why not bring MJ on himself and talk about this very troubling story? Michael, Kevin Amin here. How are you?
Oh! Woo! Sam Howell!
Father of the Year?
Because I'm bad. I'm bad. You know it.
Woo! Michael, this
get out!
Right. This. Okay. This Sister to Sister magazine sounds like it's something to do with black hair products. I mean, what is this a reputable magazine? Is this something we should be paying attention to if they make an outrageous claim like this?
That was very, very devilish of you to say. Sister to Sister, or Sister to Sister, as Kevin would say. It's a very reputable magazine for African-American women.
Okay. Right. So this Jamie Foster Brown, this is someone you know, you've actually spent time with, the lady who wrote the article?
Yes. She spent many hours with me and my children, and she finally recognized that I am the father of the year.
Prince mm-hmm. Michael 10, Paris 9, and Prince Michael II, which is my favorite, yeah, is 5 years old. She spent a lot of time with you, and she says that they're not privileged at all.
No.
Michael Jackson's kids, not privileged.
Oh, that's insane.
They're not privileged. I make them save up their allowance money in order to buy the Halloween masks and veils that I put on them.
I don't just make them wear.
They have to earn those.
How much is their allowance?
Well, about $100,000 a week.
They're intelligent. They're not privileged. They're extremely well-spoken. They like to play jokes, she said.
They are jokesters. They are so funny. Sometimes they'll say, Daddy, dangle me over a balcony.
Really?
And I say, okay, again. I go along with it because I'm the father of the year.
She Yay! Says, quote, he just seems to be a good parent, more sore than most of us.
Yes, I'm a much better father than you are.
But.
Yes.
But.
True.
But
do you discipline your children?
Constantly. Constantly.
Wait, that doesn't sound right either.
I just never stop beating.
Oh, Michael.
Michael, let me just spell it out for you because we're kind of dancing around here. Most people have this impression that you are a terrible and inattentive father, but that's why this article is such a surprise to us, because we don't picture you as being really involved with them in any kind of legal way.
I am very hands-on.
Oh,
that's what I was afraid of. That's what I'm saying.
That brings up the charges against you.
How dare you take that comment and turn it into something disgusting?
Well, hands-on for most people is something different than it is for you.
Yeah. No, I am a hands-on father.
Yeah.
And I love my children.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me.
What do you got there, Mike?
Pube.
Okay.
God.
I love my children.
Yes.
I couldn't ask for better bait in the world than those three kids.
Did you say bait?
Children. I meant kids.
You said bait, though. You said the word bait.
It's amazing at school. The kids just come running.
So
I'd like to be father to all the children in the world.
I bet you would.
In a land without clothing.
That makes us all uncomfortable, Michael.
My new ranch, Never Dressed Land.
So you got your Heroes tonight on NBC at 9, and then after that you switch over and watch The Riches at 10 on FX. We'll talk to one of the stars of that show, the actress Minnie Driver, coming up after the news at 7. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat right now. Ralph, what's going on?
Two of my favorite shows right there.
Yeah.
There you go. It's a big Monday night for you.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, according to Variety. Disturbia, still number one after 2 weeks in theaters, made $13.5 million. It dropped off about 40%, but still good enough to make it number one. Fracture, in its debut, the new Anthony Hopkins movie with Ryan Gosling, was number two at the box office. $11.2 million made it number two. Blades of Glory was third. Then Vacancy, the brand new movie starring one of the Wilsons and Kate Beckinsale.
One of the Kates.
Came in at number four, making $7.6 million. I thought that would do a lot better than it did this weekend, quite frankly. People usually like the scary movies.
Yeah.
Meet the Robinsons was number five. Hot Fuzz was six. Are We Done Yet? Number seven. In the Land of Women was number eight. Perfect Stranger was number nine. Oh, that's the Bruce Willis Halle Berry.
That's what it is. That's
Perfect
the
Stranger.
One,
yeah.
Perfect
nine.
Stranger.
Made $4.1 million. Good enough to keep it in the top 10. And Wild Hogs, rounding out your top 10. Still in the top 10 after 17 years in theaters.
It came out a long time ago, didn't it? Yeah. Two Christmases ago, I think. Hey, Ralph, you were faking sick on Friday to get a three-day weekend, so you weren't here for the guys from Hot Fuzz, but we had those guys in, the actors and directors and writers from that movie. Delightful, charming guys. Really, really fun guys. And Lisa, you saw the movie? Good?
Loved it. It was really funny. Yeah, it was very well done.
I don't think I'd use the word delightful.
Well, you're not a woman.
I thought they were really nice guys.
I liked them.
Well, you're not a woman.
I thought they were funny.
It's a female term.
I don't really say delightful about people.
There's a lot of words you don't use, though, Kevin. Come on.
Nice try.
Maybe they're delicious. Maybe they're delicious.
I do have a total vocabulary of about 10 words.
Britney Spears' dad is speaking out about the fact that Britney fired her longtime manager, Larry Rudolph, last week. Reportedly, Britney fired Rudolph because he didn't like the fact that he forced her to go into rehab.
Bastard.
Jamie Spears, Britney's dad, talked to the New York Post and told them when Larry Rudolph talked Britney into going to rehab, he was doing what her mother, father, and team of professionals with over 100 years of experience knew needed to be done. She was out of control.
Sounds reasonable.
Larry was the one chosen by the team to roll up his sleeves and deliver the message to help save her life. The Spears family would like to publicly apologize to Larry for our daughter's statements about him over the past few weeks. Unfortunately, she blames him and her family for where she is today and with their kids and her career. Larry's always been there for Britney. For this, we will forever be grateful to him.
And you wonder why people don't tell the truth to celebrities.
Yeah.
Because they get canned.
Yep. Britney responded to what her father said by releasing the following statement. I am praying for my father. We never had a good relationship. It's sad that all the men that I have had in my life do not know how to accept a real woman's love.
Oh,
so
no.
It's their fault. It's
dear
their
God.
She just loves too much, and all these men just don't know how to accept a real woman's love.
Because she's the real deal.
Exactly. So her father and Larry Rudolph and her ex-husbands, they are flawed where she is still great.
Jeez, what a bitch.
I'm concentrating on my work and my life right now. Yeah, you know why you're able to do that? Because they sent you to rehab.
Exactly.
You psychopath.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
Apparently, Britney's telling friends that she was embarrassed to be sent to rehab because she was going through postpartum depression. She did not have an alcohol problem.
But everyone that knows her disagrees?
Her family and her management and everyone around her said that she was going to kill herself with alcohol if she didn't get into rehab.
If everyone in your life agrees you need to go to rehab and somebody tells you you got to go to rehab, you don't fire that person, all right? That person's doing it for you.
But she was vomiting in cabs and limos and passing out at parties because she was depressed.
Postpartum.
That's right.
You can throw up a lot in that.
She was staying away from her children and just running wild in the streets and getting tattoos and shaving her head because she was depressed.
Right.
Right.
The category is people who annoy you.
Exactly.
Another member of that category, Paula Abdul.
Yes.
Apparently threw a diva-like tantrum while boarding an airplane recently. She was waiting to get on a Southwest airline flight from San Jose to Burbank, California, when she started pushing her way through the crowd, insisting, and I'm not kidding you, that she was too famous to wait in line.
She said those words. Yes. Those words came out of her mouth.
Yep. She got to the gate. She demanded to be given special treatment and be able to board the aircraft first. The woman at the gate said, that's not how we do things at Southwest. We board by groups. And she said, well, I am in first class. To which the woman responded, there is no first class on Southwest Airlines, ma'am.
Yes.
One disgruntled commuter waiting in line behind her apparently screamed, you're no Sanjaya. Source told a website called The Scoop, she pulled a major diva trip. The other passengers were not amused. She demanded to be let on the plane and seated first. However, Southwest airline employees refused her request, and she had to board with everyone
else. Dude, you're A, B, or C, and that's when you board.
That's right. And apparently, when she got on the plane, she put all her stuff on the seat next to her, claiming it was saved for someone, even though she was traveling alone because she didn't want anyone to sit next to her.
There's something wrong with that. You just don't.
Everyone, come at once, now.
All right, I'm going to go first, and then you go, Bede. Okay.
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's hot.
Excellent. Sweet.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Lee Majors, Colonel Steve Austin from the $6 Million Man TV series.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to play himself, Ralph, in a new TV series about a new $6 Million Man. Is that what you told us?
What?
I didn't say that.
Oh, maybe I heard it somewhere else then. I'm sorry. Yeah, new series that's coming out about a new $6 Million Man that Lee Majors is in playing himself.
$6 Million Old Man?
That sounds wrong on several levels.
I'll try to look it up for you.
Do a little research.
That's shaky.
He's 68 years old today. Michael Moore, film director, made those controversial documentaries like Fahrenheit 9/11 and Hey, We're in Big Trouble Now.
Pulling for Columbine?
That's it, yeah.
I don't think it's Hey, We're in Big Trouble Now.
That's his new film. I'm sorry, no, it hasn't been out yet. Yeah. He's 53 years old today. Valerie Bertinelli, new spokesperson for Fat Girls Everywhere. With Jenny Craig, she is 47 years old today.
I gotta tell you.
Yeah!
Oh, come on! No, she's awfully cute.
Have you seen her
lately? She wasn't 78 on One Day at a Time, but
she's still pretty cute. And she's gonna look hot again once she loses the weight.
Well, let's reserve
the
bell
hold
for
off then.
Okay. All right.
She's 47, exactly how many pounds she has to lose. So it all works out. George Lopez, actor, comedian. He's 46 years old today. And Melina Kanakaridis plays Detective Bonacera on CSI New York. She's 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk to actress Minnie Driver in about 2 minutes or so here from the new show called The Riches on FX. New episode tonight at 10 o'clock. First, though, you know, it was just it was raining like a mofo on Friday morning. You'll recall.
Oh, yeah.
And I got off the air, and I'm watching the news, and Channel 7 comes on. And, Kevin, I know you're with me on this. You love the rain coverage.
Oh, it's so great. It's so over the top.
Every channel. Doesn't matter what channel you're on. It's always hilarious to watch them cover the occasional time that it rains in Southern California.
Better late than never. This year's record low rainfall is getting a much-needed boost today. We have live Storm Track team coverage for you. Garth Kemp is tracking the system with the live Megadoppler 7000 HD.
I didn't realize that the live Megadoppler 7000 was HD now, by the way. Congratulations to Channel 7.
It's been updated.
That's fantastic.
But we begin with Leo Stallworth live in Valencia with a look at conditions there. Leo.
And they show us a little bit of rain.
Well, David, exactly. Better late than never. Folks out here, don't mind the rain. It's been raining steady for the last several hours out here. Not very hard, but a steady rain nonetheless.
By the way, it is one of my favorite things on the news when they show you the rain, too.
Yeah, that's
because it's raining outside. I don't need to watch rain falling on the television, right?
How will you know what it looks like?
I guess.
Many people knew that it was going to rain, people that we spoke to out here in the Valencia, Santa Clarita Valley area, but not many of them prepared for the rain. Many of the folks we saw out walking about, no umbrellas. We saw an umbrella here and there, but for the most part, people just wandering around in the rain, not minding the rain.
That's my
How do they do it, by the way?
That's my second favorite thing, is they always show people without umbrellas.
Right, exactly. I know. Because God forbid that you walk from your house to your car and you get wet. How shocking can that be to the people who are running the news? Why do they think that's news that, look, there's a guy without an umbrella? He's going to be okay. These people knew it was going to rain, but they didn't prepare for it. Now, here comes our favorite thing in the world, which is where they interview people about what they think about the rain. Lots of rain. There's more rain. Showing some rain. Plenty of rain.
Nah, we ain't seen no spring yet. It's too much rain out here right now.
Okay, bear in mind, we've had 2 inches of rain all winter long, and they found the guy who's complaining about the rain. Okay, well, I got too much rain out here.
Out here in this valley right here, I don't know when we're going to get spring, but the weather's been on and off right now, so can't tell. It's be hot, cold, be sick out here, but got to keep working out here.
How about that guy? How about the illumination we get from that interview, by the way?
Wow, is that good.
Thank God they talked to him, but wait, there's more.
I think it's great, but it's kind of crazy. Kind of wet, crazy.
Okay, now.
What?
Kind of wet, crazy.
Have we forgotten what rain is like?
I think it's great, but it's kind of crazy is an interview that somebody conducted, and then somebody else decided to put it on television.
That's good. Give me the crazy
guy. That was the decision they made. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Thomas, what do you think about this weather, Tom?
Okay, so she's got like a 4-year-old with her.
Yes.
And it's not enough that the dude is asking the lady what she thinks about the rain. Now she turns and asks her 4-year-old son who's standing there what he thinks about the rain. And that's the use of a full signal strength television station in Southern California. Let's see what Tommy thinks about the rain.
I know about sing song, about surf one song.
I think it's long needed, huh? We really need the rain, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, I think so.
She's asking her kid if we really need the rain, what's happening on television now.
What happened to the TV guy? He handed her the mic and left?
And then she just left, took it to daycare with her. Hold on, we're almost done. Mini driver standing by, one sec.
We don't know which way to go.
I know. We don't know what to do in this rain. We're just trying to keep dry.
Okay, that's just bad conversation you have with a guy you have to talk to at a bus stop. Listen, reporter guy, that's not the report that you file and send back to Channel 7, all right?
That's where you're wrong, Bean.
Oh, thank God the rain's over, because I can't take any more of this television coverage. That's all there is to
it. Should we have a joke quick before we get to Mini Driver?
Sure.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how do you get a mini printer to work on a mini computer? You load a mini driver.
See?
Wow.
No. You didn't do that just before our guest, Kevin.
The Riches with an all-new episode tonight at 10 o'clock on FX. This is one of those water cooler shows that you always hear people talking about. And if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to realize that you're a doofus for not watching it, because it is outstanding television. And we're very happy to have Minnie Driver back on the Kevin Bean Show to talk about it. Hey, Minnie, welcome.
Hi, you guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing fine. That was a really lame joke.
Yes, yeah. It was.
Yes. And we apologize that you had to hear that. You know, it's so funny, Minnie, as I hear you come on the phone and say hello, well, of course you've got this accent. I'd been watching you on The Riches all season. I totally forgot that's not how you really talk.
It's good. It's good. If I can make you forget that I'm, you know, a middle-class white English girl.
This is one of those TV shows, and it comes along from time to time, where it's kind of one of those you hear people talking about. It's on FX, though, so it may not be the first place you go, although The Shield is there and Nip Tuck is there. They put on some great programming. This show, The Riches, is awesome. It has Eddie Izzard. He plays the husband, Wayne, and Minnie Driver on the phone with us plays his wife.
His wife, yeah.
And you're not very nice to him, it turns out.
You know what? He gets just exactly what he deserves.
This is your character talking about the job that you have for the day and then interacting with him.
I have to make a lunch for each of you every day.
Or we could just buy lunch.
No, I can do this.
Make it a great day.
Could you be more annoying?
Not annoying. I'm taking a photograph or video.
Bad enough that he's going to school.
It's amazing that I can work this thing.
Got that right.
Nice.
Minnie, is the thing that you like about playing Dahlia is this, that she is unhinged, like anything could happen with her at any minute? She seems like she's this close to having a nervous breakdown at all times.
Yeah, I think she probably is. I mean, she's broken parole in the first 5 minutes of the episode.
Right.
She's kind of, like, every day she could go back to jail for a really long time. And I think she's on a knife edge. She's definitely had a little addiction problem in the past.
Yeah.
She's a very wayward character, but she loves her kids and she loves her man. I mean, she gives them a really hard time, but that's what all real relationships are like, you know?
Yeah, I got to tell you, though, this is ID fraud. ID theft is one of those things that you hear about all the time. This is the first time I think a major show has done this, where you guys actually just move into a house of dead people and take over their lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what, it's definitely, this is pure FX territory, where it is kind of morally, like, a little bit foggy. It's like you can't necessarily agree with what these people are doing, but
you
kind of, if once you buy the premise and you get into who they are as people, then it gets interesting. It's like, you know, it's like with The Sopranos, like, you know, he kills people, but you love him.
Right.
You kind of root for him anyway.
You kind of, exactly, yeah. And I think that our world just isn't so clear-cut. I'm not saying that it's right, and identity theft is obviously just terrible, and I think it's a very interesting forum kind of for storytelling, you know what I mean? That's,
well, those people are dead. What are you going to do?
And you didn't kill them, so.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, you don't want to waste a nice house, right?
Can't bring them back.
Well, it's interesting, though, because you and Eddie, who plays your husband, and then the actors who play the kids on the show, I mean, every second they have to be thinking in the back of their mind, oh, my God, we could be discovered. We could be found out. And they never know when they open the door, when they go to the store, when they run into somebody on the street. They never know if it's somebody who's going to blow their cover and the entire thing falls apart. And it's that tension that really kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat as you're watching the show.
That's so good, because that's exactly what it is, and that's exactly what I think people kind of get from watching it, is that it's very real. You know, it's not, it's very real television, and the dangers that they have in the story are very real. And the fact that you've kind of got comedy going along with like high drama, I think it's really interesting as well. And it's, those are the films that I know I really like, and I think it's what makes good TV.
Well, it almost seems like we have, in the last few years, gotten to a point where some of the best drama out there is being done on television. I mean, they could, you know, they could have made a movie about this, but you're able to develop it so much more and do so much more with this storyline by doing it as the kind of television program you're doing. It must be so satisfying to be able to take that much time with this kind of material.
It absolutely is. And you're right. You're not allowed to make films. There are so many caveats nowadays on what you can and can't do, and It's definitely like a little bit more like the Wild West on cable as well. You know, you can pioneer a lot more stuff and get away with a lot more stuff, which is cool. I mean, it's honestly the best role I've ever had in my life. You know,
is it really? You've had a lot of movie roles.
Oh yeah, no. Just in terms of what I get to do, it just doesn't stop. You know, it's constantly evolving and morphing into something else, and that to me is really interesting. Particularly as a girl, you know, we all know that. It's a bit tougher for girls out in the movie industry. So to get a role that you play week after week is so satisfying and cool.
Sure, sure. Well, we like to you know, give our listeners a heads up for stuff that maybe they haven't checked out yet. And we pointed out earlier today, you got a new Heroes coming back on NBC at 9. Then why not switch right over to FX at 10 o'clock and catch up with The Riches, because it is a very, very fun show.
By the way, this is one of those shows, too, that you can get on iTunes, so you can catch all of the older episodes if you
great.
Want.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
So that's cool.
All right, Minnie. Well, it's always good to catch up with you. Congratulations on the show. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you. This weekend, of course, is Coachella, and we have your tickets. You can pick the day you want to go. Coming up very soon here on the World Famous K-Rock, so keep listening for your chance.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
No, not at all. And actor Santiago Cabrera, he plays Isaac, the painter, on Heroes. We'll talk to him in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:29. Is this Lightning says Mole is on the phone?
Kevin Bean, you know who it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's Mole. We said, hey, how are you, Mole?
Hi, Mole.
Been a long time. How you been, man?
Hey, guys, happy 420. Woo! Happy 420.
Well, that was fun on Friday. Yeah. What'd you do to celebrate?
Friday?
Yeah, this is the 23rd. It's Monday the 23rd.
Oh, man, I just stopped using calendar from the liquor barn.
You thought today was 420?
It's got these cute little pictures of kittens drinking on it. I don't have a calendar. What? You know what I do? I make, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to make every day 420, just like Earth Day.
Well, I don't.
every day isn't Earth Day, though, Mo.
Yeah, but it says here Earth Day is in 3 days.
It was yesterday.
That was
Earth
yesterday.
Earth Day was yesterday.
And 420
you know
was.
I'm going to do for Earth Day? I'm going to plant myself on my futon.
What are you going to do for 420, Mo?
Hey, you know what I did?
What?
You know those houses they keep showing the news that get busted with all the weed plants?
Yeah.
There have been 10 or 12 houses in the San Fernando Valley.
Are any of those for rent?
No, they bust them, and then they take all the pot plants out.
So you guys aren't interested in co-signing a loan for me?
No, I don't think we want to try to put you into one of those houses,
and
no.
I started all that growing the weed in the basement stuff, okay? That mm-hmm. was totally my thing.
Right.
Hey, can I give you guys some tips for Earth Day and 420?
Well, yeah, but both are over.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you got to remember to reduce and reuse and recycle.
Okay.
That's what they say, right.
You got to reduce the amount you pay for your weed. I mean, stuff.
Right.
You gotta reuse. I'm not too proud to scrape resin.
Right.
Oh.
And you gotta recycle. I'm not too proud to scrape resin.
Right. Sure.
See, because recycle joke. I got that.
What have you guys been doing? Hey, you been watching Planet Earth?
I actually have.
That's
been
a great show.
Isn't it?
What?
Well,
I like the gay elk who has to make all the animals think he's gay so he can live in the forest cheap so his landlord doesn't find out.
I don't think that's what's going on at all, Mole.
I think it's around the channels a lot.
Yeah, that's
you sound confused.
Planet,
you see the forest where the plants grow really super fast.
Yeah, they speed up the.
Get some of those.
Well, they speed up the tape every once in a while, just kind of show you time lapse.
It's time lapse photography, is all it is, Mole. The plants aren't really growing that fast.
man, I gotta get a new calendar.
Yes, you do.
As you know, Heroes comes back tonight. We've been talking about it all day long. It seems like forever since there's been a new episode. But tonight at 9 on NBC, we're very excited to welcome to the program the man who plays Isaac, the painter, Santiago Cabrera, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Santiago, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're happy to, man. We couldn't be more excited about Heroes. So you get the script, and it says he's a guy who paints the future, but only when he's on heroin. And you think, yes?
And I go, cool, man, that's a good role. Yeah, I mean, it's been a great journey with the character, I think, because yeah, that was the tone that was set from the beginning, but then we saw him get off the drugs, and, you know, kind of that emotional roller coaster has been present all the way through.
Sure. And when you guys, you know, made the first couple of episodes, you probably thought it was good. Did you think it would fly? Is this the type of thing that you thought was going to be as big a hit as it is?
I kind of had a feeling that if what we're reading is reflected on the screen, then definitely. But you never know, you know, especially with the special effects. You don't know, you know, you can read it and go, well, that's a great idea, but how's it going to look when they actually do it? And they've done such an amazing job. And, you know, the level of the success, I would never be able to say that I could predict it, because you just, until it happens, you just, you know, you don't know what it's like.
That's one of those things where there's new shows each year by the dozens.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
They just go away so quickly. And so many people have high hopes for so many shows.
You're almost afraid to watch some of them because you start to like them and then you hear they're not doing well.
You wait for your friends to go, oh, yeah, Heroes, really good. Great ratings. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You don't have that kind of time otherwise.
Now, do you have to do, I know you don't do, you know, the painting, but occasionally we do see you there with a brush in front of an easel there. Do you have to know a little something to be able to even play the part that you play?
It wasn't a prerequisite, but I definitely took it up. As soon as I got the part, I started to paint myself and bought myself canvases and just, you know, gave it a go. So I feel very natural, at least when I'm on set and they give me a brush and I kind of know what I'm doing there.
And you did that with heroin as well?
No, with heroin, no. I did go to some clinics and speak to some addicts, and they were all saying, very wise of you to try it this way as opposed to the other.
Yeah. Santiago, what happens to all those paintings on the show? It seems like people would pay a lot of money for them because they're really good.
They are fantastic, aren't they? Yeah. A lot of them have gone out to charity, so they've auctioned a few off in the internet and stuff, so that's been really good. And most of them are just around the set, because you never know when they can be used again, if there's a flashback or anything that, you know, they might need them. So they're just there, ready to be used.
Psycho okay. Mike interviewed you last week, I think, and he told us how strange it was to hear you talk with a British accent.
He did. Yeah.
It's just kind of, I'm sure a lot of people bring that up, but you consider your hometown Santiago, Chile.
Yeah.
But you were raised in London and Romania and Toronto and Madrid.
Wow.
Yes.
That's weird.
I was raised, London is one of the places I've lived in the most, because I lived there as a kid. And then when I was 20 years old, I kind of just packed my bags and took off and ended up going to acting school there and started to work as an actor over there. So it's a place I've spent a lot of time in. But I actually went to American schools till I was about 10 in all these countries. I lived in Canada when I was like 3, and then in Romania I went to an American school. So I kind of used to have an American accent when I was a kid. So that's why it's not so hard for me to switch into it.
Who are your parents running from? I mean, there's got to be some sort of a backstory here. You guys,
yeah, there's like a filer in our lives.
There is, right?
It sounds like, yeah.
Trying to eat your parents' brains.
How do you like living in the United States versus some of the other countries you've lived in, Santiago? How does it compare for you?
Oh, I love it. I love California, and it reminds me a lot of home. Actually, I would say, you know, it's much more similar to what London would be to Chile. You know, not only because there's also a huge Latin community over here, but it's something about, you know, the weather and the feel of the place that's very similar. So I've really enjoyed it until now, and I'm, you know, happy to be here.
This is Santiago Cabrera we're talking to on the phone. Of course, he is Isaac, the painter on Heroes. New episode tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC. The kind of show that this is, I would imagine, especially if you're in L.A., people must come up to you all the time and bug you about what's happening next. Is that the case?
I've started to get more recognized like halfway through the season, I would say. At first, you saw my character, you know, with these huge bags under his eyes and kind of very pale and greasy hair, and so, people, I'm very different from the character, so people would never really recognize me too much. But then when we saw a clean version of him, I started to get much more. But hardcore fans, I would say, they don't want to know what happens next, actually.
They don't. They say, enough. Really, they don't want to know.
No, some people do, but in general, they're like, don't tell me, you know, they're kind of so involved that they don't. But, you know, they come up to you and they just, it's a really nice thing, just kind of let you know how much they love the show and how excited they are. So in the last few weeks, it's been more complaining about what's going on.
Yeah.
Why aren't you off TV?
Why so long? What the hell?
Yeah. Hey, we thought you got canceled. The clip they've been showing for tonight's episode, tonight's new episode, shows you laying on the floor and you're saying something like, at last I get to be a hero. Do I have that right? Something like that?
There is something like that, yeah.
Can you tell us anything at all about tonight's episode?
I can't. I've got NBC on my case.
That's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
No, it'll definitely be. I think each episode now, I like to see it as a big finale. The final five in themselves, each one has something special. So
Are there five in a row now? Without interruption, yes.
Sorry.
Are there five in a row now?
Five in a row now. Yes. Yeah. So finally, you know, it'll all come to its natural end, and then you know, obviously leave a few things as well for next season, but. But I'm sure audiences won't be disappointed that things will be resolved.
Awesome. Well, I just hope you guys get off the island, man. I mean, you guys have put up with a lot. You
know? That's lost. That's the show that doesn't pay off as much.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is. All right. New episode of Heroes tonight at 9 on NBC Channel 4. Santiago Cabrera, nice to meet you, man. Congratulations on the show. We'll look forward to seeing it tonight.
Thank you very much.
Nice. Thanks, man.
As we've been telling you all day long today, Heroes comes back on NBC tonight at 9, and our own Psycho Mike was out on the red carpet for an event with the cast last week. We've got interviews coming up after the top of the hour at 9, including a love connection with he and George Takei, TV's Star Trek Sulu. So if you want to hear some sparks fly between those two lovebirds, stick around. That's on the way right now. Ralph's got the show.
In all honesty, the sparks were just flying between Mike and himself.
Come on.
Yeah, having heard the interviews, let's not do that again.
Let's not send them?
Yeah.
You think it may have been a wasted opportunity?
The hottest show on television, and that's what he came back with.
But well, we found out, Ralph, and we wouldn't have known unless we'd sent Mike what they think about Mike.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think we should send Dewan next time. Get more information if we send Dewan on the red carpet.
That's a good idea.
Do you know Drew Barrymore? That would be more information.
How dare you?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Disturbia, 2 weeks in a row, number one. America loves them some Boofer. That's all I got to say.
Boofer?
They love the Boof.
Yeah.
Mr. LeBoeuf.
Sure.
Shia LeBoeuf. Of course, in French means man who shines beef.
I don't think that's true.
A real translation.
The beef shiner. Oh. Used to be in a job back in the...
I don't think so.
Back in the 1800s in France.
Lisa Mann.
Oh, yeah. Gene Simmons. Hey, Gene. What's up?
You guys have a good weekend.
Excellent. Uh-huh. How about you?
You know, I was just looking at my underwear. I need a beef shiner. Are you available?
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Gene.
That was actually pretty good, Gene.
Of course.
Fractured.
Thanks.
Yeah. You may want to stay in character when I thank you.
But you come back as Gene.
When I tell Gene he did a good job.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, thanks.
Fracture was number two at the box office, the new Anthony Hopkins movie. Very different role for Anthony Hopkins. He plays a scary killer dude.
Yeah. How does he do it?
Do you mind if I call you Willie? Willie? That's all I know from that trailer. Blades of Glory just passed the $100 million mark this weekend. Wow. Was number three at the box office. Vacancy was number four. Then Meet the Robinsons, Hot Fuzz, Are We Done Yet, In the Land of Women, Perfect Stranger, and Wild Hogs. Rounding out your top ten. I did not get a chance to see that In the Land of Women, but I heard that. What's that Brody kid from OC?
Adam Brody.
Brody is brilliant in it. Excellent performance.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Good actor.
According to everything I hear.
That Hot Fuzz, by the way, is on about like a third or less of the screens that some of the top movies are. So, I mean, it made the most money per screen of any film out there this weekend. Apparently it's excellent. Lisa, you saw it. You loved it?
I loved it. I'll tell you, I went to the Arclight at 2:30, I think, on Sunday and got there a half hour early and there were almost no seats left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was completely packed.
Cool.
Fired by Trump, hired by Hefner. Christine Lefebvre, who failed to win a job on The Apprentice, is going to take off her business suit for Playboy magazine.
Nice. Okay. Is she hot?
She's pretty attractive, yeah. 37-year-old lawyer will appear on the cover of the June issue of the magazine to be featured in nude photographs inside, says her publicist. She's an attorney, by the way, who had previously negotiated the Playboy deals for Pamela Anderson and Deborah Gibson to appear in the magazine.
Really?
For the first time that's ever happened.
That's weird.
She is a cancer survivor as well, and said she wants to use the magazine to send a message of support for other victims of cancer. Well, nothing says support for you with cancer than, hey, look at my cans, so I can see her point. I'd be so much more interested in this if anyone was watching The Apprentice anymore.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we found some woman in the city, she's going to be a Playboy. Oh, great, I guess.
Good news. Her, but okay.
I don't know much about her.
Hope she's hot.
I hope that works out well for her. Lil Romeo son of Master P, says he's going to put aside his hip-hop career for a little while as he goes to USC to play basketball. He's a high school junior right now, but he has signed a letter of intent to play basketball for the Trojans in 2008. That's his dad in the stands, rooting him on.
That'd be a whole crowd.
Yeah. Little Romeo's, whose full name is Percy Romeo Miller, is currently a guard on the Beverly Hills High School team and is a pretty good player from all accounts. He is 6 feet one right now at 17 years old.
All right.
He was 5'6 when he was 14.
His dad, if I remember correctly, tried very hard to make it as a professional basketball player. Remember, he actually went to camp for Charlotte or one of those teams? He tried real hard to make the team and didn't quite make it.
He had tryouts with two teams in the, two NBA teams in the 90s, actually.
So his dad's got to be proud to see his boy actually play college ball, maybe.
But little Romeo says, in the future, I want to be an NBA player. That's my goal. So good luck to him.
It's an easy goal.
Good luck, Percy.
I think I call myself little, too.
Yeah, I go with two. Alec Baldwin apologized over the weekend for the outburst he left on his daughter's answering machine. On Friday, his attorneys logged some papers in a local court trying to look into how that tape got leaked. TMZ.com, of course, was the website that broke that story, and his attorneys are currently looking into Kim Basinger and her attorneys, as well as Harvey Levin and TMZ.com, to find out where that came from, because apparently all the materials involved in this bitter custody battle have been sealed and are not supposed to be released to the public. So Alex Rather's a little cheesed off about that. In the apology, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, it clearly had to come from either Kim or her attorneys. I mean, those would be the people who would have access to it, right? I mean, I can't imagine there's any other reason this was released other than to make Alec Baldwin look bad and to bolster Kim's case.
Yeah, which may come back and bite her in the ass if she, in fact, broke that court ruling. Alec Baldwin wrote it in his website, "All parents lose their patience with their kids. I am most saddened that this was released to the media because of what it does to the child. I'm sorry, as everyone who knows me is aware, for losing my temper with my child. I've been driven to the edge by parental alienation for many years now. You have to go through this to understand, although I hope you never do. I am sorry for what happened."
I'm sorry I did that. Yeah. I'm embarrassed that I did that. Yeah. I did a bad thing.
Should be. Apparently, Baldwin called back this weekend and called his daughter a nappy-headed hoe.
Oh. Did he?
Can you believe that?
Wow.
That's just out of line.
That seems
that's unfair.
Extreme.
I heard that on Alec Baldwin's website, I didn't go check it myself, that he said, "You'll understand more of what I'm talking about when my book comes out." Do you know anything about that, Ralph?
I had not heard. I had not heard he's writing a book.
Oh, just gets worse and worse.
See, Sanjaya was invited to the correspondence dinner in Washington, the White House correspondence dinner. He was a guest of honor.
Yeah.
Sanjaya?
Yeah.
Sanjaya.
Yes. Yeah. Did he sing or was he just there to watch?
Just there to give his point of view on world politics, I guess. Sanjaya. However, voteforthewurst.com is not giving up so easily.
What?
Now that they've lost Sanjaya, they've moved all their support to Phil Stacey, the next worst singer on the show. "We have chosen our worthy successor," they say on their website. "Can Phil even make it past next week? We're brave enough to give it a shot. It's a tough call, but let's try to support our undead friend." Because he's the least marketable of the remaining six. "Go, Phil. We love you, man," it says on their website. So.
Kevin, have you know who the guy is we're talking about this?
No.
He looks, back me up, Ralph, exactly like Batboy.
Yeah.
Just bald head, giant ears.
A ghoulish zombie is what he looks like.
No.
It's very disturbing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
Guys, looking forward to Spider-Man 3?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yes. I cannot wait. I'm super excited.
Are you?
As people say about things. According to New York Post, however, it is the most expensive film ever made. They claim, when it's all tallied up, it will have cost $500 million to make Spider-Man 3.
Wow.
Now, Sony Pictures, who is releasing the film, says the film only cost $270 million. But privately, insiders surrounding the production say it's over $300 million at the very least. So, it better be pretty gosh darn good.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Imagine if they charge ticket prices the way they do other products. You know, you don't pay the same thing for a Ford Taurus as you do a BMW.
True.
So right. Imagine if a movie costs $500 million, you'd have to pay like $179 to go see it or something.
But on the flip side of that, most movies would be about $2, $3.
That's true.
So, yeah, I can't do that.
Now, is most of the cost involved special effects, Ralph?
For that film, yeah, and salaries, too. I mean, I think Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire and all those guys are getting, you know, upwards to $20 million for this film.
They are?
In the teens.
Wow.
Wow.
And then you've got, of course, all the graphic, computer graphics are a very expensive way to make a movie.
It just seems like with the success of 300 and doing virtually all of that on a computer, it seems like maybe they could do more of that on for Spider-Man 3 and make it cheaper, you know?
But computer graphics aren't cheap either. In fact, sometimes it's more expensive to do a piece of film on a computer than it is to actually shoot it live with stuntmen.
Damn.
So. Today's celebrity birthdays, Melina Kanakanikidis.
She's good.
Kanakanikidis. Kanakanikidis.
Hope you're not looking for any kind of clarification.
I know, we can't
We
help.
Sure don't know. We out. That's a Greek name, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's ask Nick. We're talking to Nick later this hour. He'll straighten it out for us.
Kanakarides, I'm getting in my ear. Kanakarides is right. How you say it.
Yes.
She plays Petros. How do you say her name? Petros, how is it?
It's Kanakarides, a very fine-looking Greek girl. He's from the motherland. Yes.
Thank you, Petros.
I'm getting wet.
She plays Detective Bonacera on CSI's New York. She is 40 years old today. George Lopez is 46 years old today. Valerie Bertinelli. Currently, the spokesperson for Jenny Craig. The latest celebrity to try to lose some weight via that weight loss program. She's 47 years old today. Michael Moore, the controversial director of documentaries, is 53 years old today. And Lee Majors, who played Colonel Steve Austin, a man barely alive. We can make him better than he was.
We can rebuild him.
Better, stronger, faster.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
We have the technology. 68 years old today and did a little research and turns out Bean is right. They are doing a TV series where Lee Majors plays himself, who gives bionic powers to someone else, and that person is Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, no!
Jackpot.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Called Lee and Me, and it's about the real Lee Majors giving bionic parts to Jamie Kennedy.
And then he goes to Compton, and he's a
and he player? And he break dances. Yes, it's all very entertaining.
It's top-notch gay.
In right until the words Jamie and Kennedy came across your lips. Oh, that was out.
Why you got to play a brother like that?
Come on.
It's not
seriously.
A brother.
Fellow Philly boy, Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
I gotta hang out with my peeps, yo. Yeah.
Have you seen any of his movies?
Yo.
So no.
No. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Clippers and Hornets tied at 83. Golden State has already clinched a playoff spot. All right, Warrior fans, wake up the kids. Tell the neighbors, shout it from the rooftops. The Golden State Warriors are going to the postseason. That means the Clippers are out.
Dave, the King of Mexico, welcome Great. Back to the studios of K-Rock.
It's good to be back. Now, the King, who's Clipper fan number one, he and his friend Crispin Bell from Veronica Mars, Clipper fan number two, they've been doing nothing but yapping at us all year long about the beloved LA Clippers. But strangely, both of them out of the country when the Clippers were eliminated for the playoffs last week, and we couldn't talk to either one of them.
Here's the thing about Dave. It's not so much that he's a Clippers fan, which I don't mind, although I think their owner doesn't deserve a single fan. The players are fine. I don't have any problem with the players. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem with the fans. Owner sucks. Dave more than loves the Clippers, though. He really hates the Lakers. So he spends the entire season telling us how much the Lakers blow.
And how much the Clippers are going to go to the playoffs and the Lakers aren't. But then when the opposite happens, Dave is nowhere to be found to not only take the abuse, but to maybe start counting portraits of Alexander Hamilton into Kevin's hand. That didn't happen either last week, by the way, when the season ended.
I'm out of the country, and I was on the cruise, and they said my thing said that it had 5 bars, but I couldn't get a signal of any kind.
Let me get this out of the way.
Nope.
Let me get out of the way. Let me get out of the way.
Nope.
No, you're going to want to hear it. Congratulations to Kobe. He carried his team, and they're in the playoffs.
Yes, he did.
My Clips let me down.
Yes, they did.
Yay, Kobe.
Now, that's not what I want to hear. What I want to hear is for the first half of next season, wow, I hope my team makes it to the playoffs. Or, hey, it looks like the Lakers are pretty good this year. Or the Clippers are pretty good this year. But I don't want to hear any mother effing, you guys suck, and the Clip, this is the year, F you.
Oh, no, it'll be there. So, it'll be there in song.
This is what a listener sent in, and then we're going to play your very funny song now.
Clippers down by 3. Seatbelts fastened one final time this season as Sammy will inbound the basketball. Thomas pops out, rolls to the corner. They have to go to Brand. He's going to have to shoot. He got it off too late. So the Clippers come up short in the game and in the season and in the standings. So it is official. The Clippers will not go back to the playoffs for a second year in a row.
Clipper Nation number one. You know they're going all the way. King of Mexico, and I'm out.
That's not America. That's not even Mexico. Clippers.
Okay, so thanks to K-Rock listener Edwin for that.
I'm going to kill him.
Dave, the King of Mexico, gone all last week. We know we're about a week late, but we have to play Dave's Clippers song because...
I'm going
to
cry.
We begged Dave for maybe 2 months. Dude, you got to get your song out. They might not make it to the playoffs. Begged him.
Yep.
Nope.
No, they're going to make it to the playoffs. I don't have any question. But what if they don't? You'll have time to... No, I'm not going to put it out until they're in the playoffs. So last week when they didn't make the playoffs, Dave delivered his very, very funny song about the Clippers making the playoffs. Especially funny because they didn't.
Comedy show, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Here's Dave, the King of Mexico, with his new very happening Clipper song.
We're the Clipper Nation, if you don't know. C-L-I-P-P-E-R-S.
Yes.
C-L-I-P-P-E-R-S. The Clipper Nation, we're playoff bound. The Lakers, they're going down. Back to the town of Los Angeles. Oh, the ice, ice.
16 wins to get a ring. That's just what the Clips will bring. Elton Brand will lead the way. Mobley's threes will make them pay. Defense is the way to win. Lakers cheering, that's a sin. Jump on the bandwagon, root for us. Bringing back rings to Los Angeles.
Clipper Nation, we're playoff bound. The Lakers, they're going down.
Champagne in our eyes will really sting. But it won't matter when we get that ring. We the Clipper Nation are rep very well. Cause we have hot fans like Kristen Bell.
It's the Clipper Show.
The Clipper Show.
Don't act like you don't know. The King of Mexico. The King of Mexico.
Yeah.
That's a hit.
Such
I like
a good
it.
Song.
I'm gonna buy it
is a good
right
song.
Now.
You know what would have made that song better? If the Clippers were in the playoffs? That would have made it
you
better.
You are that little thing,
details.
You know.
Bean,
how you are the lying liar who lies, though, Dave, in this case. You have to admit.
No, I still believe. It's going to happen.
You still think they're going to make it?
Yes.
Bean, Lisa, Mike, how many times did he mouth off about the Lakers during the season and the Clippers?
All of them.
I mean, it's incalculable.
It is, right?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No,
hey,
I'm not clapping.
The man.
I'm not clapping. I'm saying, well, I don't have any money in my hand or credits.
Well, the credits are going to have to wait because...
Oh, I see how it works. You're gone for a week. Well, you can't come in with credits.
Well, Lupita has all my money, and I have a box of Chiclets if you want them.
Dude.
What?
Dude, you've had the entire season to save up for this moment.
I did, and I spent it all on beer and booze and... Lupita.
Not gas.
So no credits is what you're saying.
Not yet, but I am.
If I'm not mistaken, we had 50 credits on Best Record.
Yep.
And 20 credits on Who Goes Further in the Playoffs.
Yep.
Which is both are already over.
Yeah.
And you don't have it.
No. Not at the moment. No, no.
I see how that works.
Yeah, and don't forget the 20 credits for the 7th seed.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Another 20 credits. Dude, well, it makes any difference if you're not going to pay.
I'm going to pay, just not right now. I just can't right now.
When do you think you're going to pay? You're turning into Psycho Mike. Remember, he never pays off his bets, so we stopped betting with him.
I paid you.
NFL season start? When the Falcons go
all the way, baby.
Falcons.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Don't
even
start.
We got the 8th pick, baby. Calvin Johnson coming our way.
Dear God, I hate you. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
We are Kraftwerk.
A little bit.
Thank you. Good night.
On the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 27 minutes after 8 o'clock.
So this is what's weird, because Coachella's coming up and people are making their plans to go. If they're lucky enough to have the 3-day pass, they go for the whole weekend. Otherwise, people are going to go for Friday or Saturday or Sunday. But Kevin is going to go to all 3 days, and he's gonna, because he can go and come right back. He has the capability we don't have.
He's going to commute for 3 days.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
In his rich man transportation.
Remember there's Kevin's helicopter now.
Yeah,
how about that?
Last year when you choppered into Coachella, when everyone was stuck in traffic, bumper to bumper, sweating their ass off.
That was pretty cool. Here's what happened. A friend offered me a ride. He was going to Coachella with a chopper, and I said yes. But then I tried to hide it from the guys because I knew that they would beat me senseless with it.
Let me pick up the story, Richie Rich. What really happened is Monday morning we come in, and Alex and Dave and some of the plebes are saying, wow, the show was great, man. But that traffic was killer, man. It took forever. And Kevin's like, I know. It was bad.
I really got jammed up.
Like, I haven't driven to Coachella 5,000 times.
But you didn't that time, the time they were talking about Howard Hughes.
Because I knew you guys would mock me soundly.
As well, you deserve to be mocked, Sally, because you were drinking margaritas and smoking 1,000 feet above the ground.
Laughing at everyone, saying how much better you were
doing none of that. I was very happy to take a helicopter. That was cool.
Well, how is Kevin getting to Coachella this weekend? That's the question on the K-Rock listeners' minds. And what we thought we'd do, since clearly he has some way to get there that we don't know about, we're going to try to find out right now at 1-800-520-1067. Guess how Kevin gets to Coachella, and you get tickets.
How will Kevin get to Coachella?
Dude, what's my ride?
How will Kevin get to Coachella?
Kevin Ryder, man of adventure, took a helicopter to Coachella to prove he's better than you.
Yeah. How will Kevin get to
Coachella? Dude, what's my ride?
How will Kevin get to
Coachella?
Now it's your job to guess how Kevin will get to
Coachella.
What bizarre mode of transportation will take him to this concert to prove he's better than you? If you guess correctly, you win tickets to the
Coachella.
All right, so couldn't we recut it from Weenie Rose? that hard, that much trouble just to re-sing the jingle?
Apparently
we
couldn't find the bed. The actual bed that's underneath.
Is that what it was?
Theme.
Okay.
Yeah,
so. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Abraham in NoHo. Abraham, you're our first contestant, which means you've got the first shot. The garage door is standing by. You tell us how Kevin's getting to Coachella. We'll open the door and see if you're right, and you'll win tickets.
Abraham, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
How's rich Kevin getting to Coachella?
He's going to go through an underground tunnel that he's going to dig by himself.
Well, he wouldn't do it. He'd have some Mexicans do it.
Hire some Mexicans.
Yeah, do some illegal aliens.
And I would have them carry me through the tunnel.
That's right.
All right, let's take a look.
On their backs.
No. That's not it.
No underground tunnel. No. Sorry, Abraham.
We started, but it didn't get finished. We only got halfway down. Katrina in Cyprus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how will I get to Coachella?
Katrina, how's Kevin going to get Coachella, which is better than you?
Well, I think camel, since the camel is a desert animal, he'll be well-equipped to go to the hot desert of Coachella.
Very logical. I see Kevin wearing, like, a burqa wrapped around his head, carrying a big scimitar, going through the desert like Lawrence of Arabia.
Running past the traffic?
Yes, exactly.
Let's have a look.
No, not a camel.
Not a camel. Oh, sorry, Katrina. Nice try, though.
Probably too slow for Kevin.
Camels can haul ass, man.
Yeah, it's true. They can.
Jerry in Buena Park, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Jerry, how's Kevin getting to Coachella?
I'm thinking hot air balloon. You know, once he gets over Palm Springs with those winds, he's just going to blow right in there.
That'd be a good way to go. Mm-hmm.
Not a bad guess.
The Wizard of Oz.
Let's open the garage and see if a hot air balloon is in there.
All right. No.
Hot air, sorry. Nice guess, though. Great view. And you could still pee on the little people underneath you.
That's right.
See you.
I'm betting you all drunk, just whizzing on cars underneath. You go real low and scrape the top of their roof with your basket. Just pound it on the back of their cars.
Brian in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hey. What'd he do?
Hi there.
How's Howard Hughes getting to Coachella?
He's going to go on wheels this year. He's going to go on one of those prison transport vehicles with the bars over the windows and everything.
I like it.
Prison transport vehicle.
I'm not sure
that
why you would
in
want
the garage?
To. Oh,
no. Yeah. Kevin doesn't like to sit in a seat that anyone has previously sat in, by the way. He needs all-new seat before he puts his sweet ass down.
Well, he'd probably be sitting on a prisoner.
I wonder why I didn't want to tell these guys. Javier in Silver Lake, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Javier, how's Kevin going to get to Coachella?
He's going to ice skate.
Ice skate.
Oh.
Just like the type of thing Kevin would try to do in 100-degree weather, but let's see if it is.
Yeah, no. That's just dumb.
No ice skating. It's just crazy.
All right, let's go to
dumb. Speaking of dumb,
how's Kevin get to Coachella?
Let's go to Cody and Van Nuys. I mock, but actually, Cody has the best idea yet. Go ahead, Cody. How's Kevin going to get to Coachella this weekend?
Yeah, this one's easy as hell, actually.
Wow.
He's going by unicorn.
Unicorn, that's true. He would hunt down the only one in existence and then ride it to its death to Coachella, then kill it and eat it.
Why do I have to kill it and eat it?
Because
how am I going to get
that? That's how you are, you with your rich friends eating mystical animals for their powers.
What are you talking about?
Everyone knows that unicorn horn makes you have an erection last for 4 days.
No,
it's not a unicorn. Oh.
But only because I didn't think of it.
You'd beat the unicorn to death with a leprechaun. That's what you'd do.
Paul in Simi Valley, good morning.
I say magic carpet.
Oh, magic carpet. That's so magic Kevin. Carpet. That is so Kevin.
Very impressive. Let's go to the garage and see if it's a magic carpet.
Ed?
No, sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, for sure that was in the garage.
Can't we just leave the garage open?
No.
You have to open and close every time just to see what's
right
there.
Let's talk to Sean in Costa Mesa. We're trying to figure out how Kevin's going to get to Coachella. Clearly, the rest of us are hitchhiking like usual, but Kevin's got some magical rich man's way to get there. Sean, yes. What do you think it is?
Well, there it is. I don't know if you guys know, but Kevin's an undercover Trekkie, and he's made a little agreement with them because they're a little low on funding, and they're going to let him use the transporter. They're going to beam him up over there.
Oh, I like that. Sean has a whole backstory figured out.
Beam him down to Coachella.
Not a transporter, but that would be cool, Kevin. You should try to do that some future year.
Captain, we can't fit his giant head in the transporter.
All right, I feel good about Melissa in Van Nuys. I think this is going to be the one. I don't know because I don't know what's in there yet. I don't know what's in the garage, but let's see if Melissa's
really?
Got
I keep
it.
Looking in every time they open the door. I'm peeking in.
So you've seen
it. I've seen it, yeah.
Melissa, what's the answer?
On the back of 1,000 bees.
He's going to be carried on the back of 1,000 bees.
I love it.
I like the delivery.
Oh, no bees.
But you know he's going to use that idea for Weenie Roast this
year. It's safe to say that was the funniest answer with the worst delivery.
I know. It could have been more bored.
It's very Stephen Wright.
On the back of 1,000 bees. Julie, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, what's the answer?
The guy from Heroes will teleport you through time.
Oh, I like it. Ooh. Didn't think of that.
Hero will take you through time.
Yes, let's look. See if he's in there.
No.
You could have already been to Coachella, then come back and told us how it was.
That's right, in the future.
Celia in Hawthorne?
Hey.
Hi there.
He is going to borrow a jetpack.
Ooh, that would burn.
That would burn Bean's ass, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what's in there.
Oh! It's a jetpack!
Jetpack!
Yes.
Unbelievable. You mother effer.
Listen to her.
She just knocked something over.
Celia,
all you have to do was think what's going to make Bean cry, that's how you came to the answer. You got your choice. You want to go Friday, Bjork is headlining, Saturday for the Chili Peppers, or Sunday, of course, it's Rage Against the Machine back together. What do you think?
Rage Against the Machine getting back together.
Sunday night.
It is.
So excited.
Look for Kevin. Look for Kevin overhead in his jetpack, pooping on people, looking at Rage.
And now we know how Kevin Ryder, man of adventure, will get to
Coachella.
Dude, what's my ride?
As we've been telling you all day long today, Heroes comes back on NBC tonight at 9, and our own Psycho Mike was out on the red carpet for an event with the cast last week. We've got interviews coming up after the top of the hour at 9, including a love connection with he and George Takei, TV's Star Trek Sulu. So if you want to hear some sparks fly between those two lovebirds, stick around. That's on the way right now. Ralph's got the show.
In all honesty, the sparks were just flying between Mike and himself.
Come on.
Yeah, well, having heard the interviews, let's not do that again.
Let's not send them?
Yeah.
You think it may have been a wasted opportunity?
The hottest show on television, and that's what he came back with.
But well, we found out, Ralph, and we wouldn't have known unless we'd sent Mike what they think about Mike.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think we should send Dewan next time. Get more information if we send Dewan on the red carpet.
That's a good idea.
Do you know Drew Barrymore?
That would be more information.
How dare you?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Disturbia, 2 weeks in a row, number one. America loves them some Boofer. That's all I got to say.
Boofer?
They love the Boof.
Yeah.
Mr. LeBoof.
Sure.
Shia LaBeouf. Of course, in French means man who shines beef.
I don't think that's true.
That's a real translation.
The beef shiner. Oh, used to be in a job back in the... Back in the 1800s in France.
At least me.
Oh, yeah. Gene Simmons. Hey, Gene. What's up?
You guys have a good weekend.
Excellent. Uh-huh. How about you?
You know, I was just looking at my underwear. I need a beef shiner. Are you available?
Oh, okay. Thank Gene. You, Gene.
That was actually pretty good, Gene.
Thanks.
Fracture. Thanks. Yeah. You may want to stay in character when I thank you.
But you come back as Gene.
When I tell Gene he did a good job.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, thanks.
Fracture was number two at the box office, the new Anthony Hopkins movie. Very different role for Anthony Hopkins. He plays a scary killer dude.
Yeah. How does he do it?
Do you mind if I call you Willie? Willie? That's all I know from that trailer. Blades of Glory just passed the $100 million mark this weekend. Wow. Was number three at the box office. Vacancy was number four. Then Meet the Robinsons, Hot Fuzz, Are We Done Yet, In the Land of Women, Perfect Stranger, and Wild Hogs. Rounding out your top ten. I did not get a chance to see that In the Land of Women, but I heard that. What's that Brody kid from OC?
Adam Brody.
Brody is brilliant in it. It's an excellent performance.
He's a good actor. Good actor.
According to all, everything I hear.
That Hot Fuzz, by the way, is on about like a third or less of the screens that some of the top movies are. So, I mean, it made the most money per screen of any film out there this weekend. Apparently it's excellent. Lisa, you saw it. You loved it?
I loved it. I'll tell you, I went to the Arclight at 2:30, I think, on Sunday and got there a half hour early and there were almost no seats left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was completely packed.
Cool.
Fired by Trump, hired by Hefner, Christine Lefebvre, who failed to win a job on The Apprentice, is going to take off her business suit for Playboy magazine.
Nice. Okay. Is she hot?
She's pretty attractive, yeah. 37-year-old lawyer will appear on the cover of the June issue of the magazine to be featured in nude photographs inside, says her publicist. She's an attorney, by the way, who had previously negotiated the Playboy deals for Pamela Anderson and Deborah Gibson to appear in the magazine.
Really?
For the first time that's ever happened.
That's weird.
She is a cancer survivor as well, and said she wants to use the magazine to send a message of support for other victims of cancer. Well, nothing says support for you with cancer than, hey, look at my cans, so I can see her point. I'd be so much more interested in this if anyone was watching The Apprentice anymore.
Yeah.
Like saying, hey, we found some woman in the city, she's going to be a Playboy. Oh, great, I guess.
I haven't seen her, but okay.
I don't know much about her.
Hope she's hot.
I hope that works out well for her. Lil Romeo, son of Master P, says he's going to put aside his hip-hop career for a little while as he goes to USC to play basketball. He's a high school junior right now, but he has signed a letter of intent to play basketball for the Trojans in 2008. That's his dad in the stands, rooting him on.
That'd be a whole crowd.
Yeah. Lil Romeo's, whose full name is Percy Romeo Miller, is currently a guard on the Beverly Hills High School team and is a pretty good player. From all accounts, he is 6 feet one right now at 17 years old.
All right.
He was 5'6 when he was 14.
His dad, if I remember correctly, tried very hard to make it as a professional basketball player. Remember, he actually went to camp for Charlotte or one of those teams? He tried real hard to make the team and didn't quite make it.
He had tryouts with two NBA teams in the 90s, actually.
So his dad's got to be proud to see his boy actually play college ball, maybe.
But Lil Romeo says, in the future, I want to be an NBA player. That's my goal. So good luck to him.
It's an easy goal.
Good luck, Percy.
I think I call myself Lil, too.
Yeah, I go with two. Alec Baldwin apologized over the weekend for the outburst he left on his daughter's answering machine. On Friday, his attorneys logged some papers in a local court trying to look into how that tape got leaked. TMZ.com, of course, was the website that broke that story, and his attorneys are currently looking into Kim Basinger and her attorneys, as well as Harvey Levin and TMZ.com, to find out where that came from, because apparently all the materials involved in this bitter custody battle have been sealed and are not supposed to be released to the public. So Alec's a little cheesed off about that. In the apology, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, it clearly had to come from either Kim or her attorneys. I mean, those would be the people who would have access to it, right? I mean, I can't imagine there's any other reason this was released other than to make Alec Baldwin look bad and to bolster Kim's case.
Yeah, which may come back and bite her in the ass if she, in fact, broke that court ruling. Alec Baldwin wrote it in his website, "All parents lose their patience with their kids. I am most saddened that this was released to the media because of what it does to the child. I'm sorry, as everyone who knows me is aware, for losing my temper with my child. I've been driven to the edge by parental alienation for many years now. You have to go through this to understand, although I hope you never do. I am sorry for what happened.
I'm sorry I did that. Yeah. I'm embarrassed that I did that. Yeah. I did a bad thing.
You should be. Apparently, Baldwin called back this weekend and called his daughter a nappy-headed hoe.
Oh. Did he? Yeah.
You believe that?
Wow.
That's just out of line.
That seems
that's unfair.
Extreme.
I heard that on Alec Baldwin's website, I didn't go check it myself, that he said, you'll understand more of what I'm talking about when my book comes out. Do you know anything about that, Ralph?
I had not heard. I had not heard he's writing a book.
Oh, just gets worse and worse.
See, Sanjaya was invited to the correspondence dinner in Washington, the White House correspondence dinner. He was a guest of honor.
Yeah.
Sanjaya?
Yeah.
Sanjaya.
Yes. Yeah. Did he sing or was he just there to watch?
Just there to
just there.
Give his point of view on world politics, I guess. Sanjaya, Sanjaya, Sanjaya. However, voteforthewurst.com is not giving up so easily.
What?
Now that they've lost Sanjaya, they've moved all their support to Phil Stacey, the next worst singer on the show. We have chosen our worthy successor, they say on their website. Can Phil even make it past next week? We're brave enough to give it a shot. It's a tough call, but let's try to support our undead friend. Because he's the least marketable of the remaining six. Go, Phil. We love you, man, it says on their website. So.
Kevin, have you know who the guy is we're talking about this?
No.
He looks, back me up, Ralph, exactly like Batboy.
Yeah.
Just bald head, giant, like giant ears.
A ghoulish zombie is what he looks like.
No.
That's very disturbing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
Guys, looking forward to Spider-Man 3?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yes. I cannot wait. I'm super excited.
Are you?
As people say about things. According to New York Post, however, it is the most expensive film ever made. They claim, when it's all tallied up, it will have cost $500 million to make Spider-Man 3.
Wow.
Now, Sony Pictures, who is releasing the film, says the film only cost $270 million. But privately, insiders surrounding the production say it's over $300 million at the very least. So, it better be pretty gosh darn good.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Imagine if they charge ticket prices the way they do other products. You know, you don't pay the same thing for a Ford Taurus as you do a BMW.
True.
Right. So imagine if a movie costs $500 million, you'd have to pay like $179 to go see it or something.
But on the flip side of that, most movies would be about $2, $3.
That's true.
So, yeah. I can't do that.
Now, is most of the cost involved special effects, Ralph?
For that film, yeah, and salaries, too. I mean, I think Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire and all those guys are getting, upwards to $20 million for this film.
They are?
Wow. In the teens.
Wow.
Wow.
And then you've got, of course, all the computer graphics are a very expensive way to make a movie.
It just seems like with the success of 300 and doing virtually all of that on a computer, it seems like maybe they could do more of that for Spider-Man 3 and make it cheaper, you know?
The computer graphics aren't cheap either. In fact, sometimes it's more expensive to do a piece of film on a computer than it is to actually shoot it live with stuntmen.
Damn.
So. Today's celebrity birthdays, Melina Kanakanikidis.
She's good.
Kanakanikidis. Kanakanikidis.
Hope you're not looking for any kind of clarification.
I know, we can't
we
help.
Sure don't know.
We out.
That's a Greek name, right?
Yes.
Let's ask Nick. We're talking to Nick later this hour. He'll straighten it out for us.
Kanakaridis, I'm getting in my ear. Kanakaridis
All
is
right.
how you say
All
it.
Right.
Yeah.
She plays Petros. How do you say her name? Petros, how is it?
It's Kanakaridis, a very fine-looking Greek girl. He's from the motherland. Yes.
Thank you, Petros.
I'm getting wet.
She plays Detective Bonacera on CSI's New York. She is 40 years old today. George Lopez is 46 years old today. Valerie Bertinelli. Currently, the spokesperson for Jenny Craig. The latest celebrity to try to lose some weight via that weight loss program. She's 47 years old today. Michael Moore, the controversial director of documentaries, is 53 years old today. And Lee Majors, who played Colonel Steve Austin, a man barely alive. We can make him better than he was.
We can rebuild him.
Better, stronger, faster.
We can rebuild him.
We have the technology. 68 years old today and did a little research and turns out Bean is right. They are doing a TV series where Lee Majors plays himself, who gives bionic powers to someone else, and that person is Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, no!
Jackpot.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Called Lee and Me, and it's about the real Lee Majors giving bionic parts to Jamie Kennedy.
And then he goes to Compton, and he's a
player? And he breakdances. Yes, it's all very entertaining.
It's top-notch gay.
in right until the words Jamie and Kennedy came across your lips. Oh, then that was out.
Why you got to play a brother like that?
Come on.
It's not
seriously.
A brother. Fellow Philly boy, Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
I had to hang out with my peeps, yo. Yeah.
Have you seen any of his movies?
Yo. Yo.
So no.
No. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. As usual, just for getting on the air, you get a prize.
Two DJs were raised by dogs. Lara.
And you're lucky this week. Looks like a good prize. How about a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of Los Angeles? You know what's new there is the Universal House of Horrors. Ralph, you were there recently. You saw that, right? The frightening Scream As You Go walkthrough experience inspired by characters from Universal Studios' greatest horror movies like Dracula, Frankenstein, Chucky, and more, now at Universal.
Ralph,
sure.
How was that?
It was awesome.
Was it good?
Yeah. That's where they remember. Awesome. Remember the mummy maze was before that section there.
Sure.
Yeah. That's where they're doing it there with all the classic Universal monsters.
All blah, right. Blah, I'm Dracula. Blah. Frankenstein.
Oh my God! It's like we're there.
Yeah. That's just like that.
David, Ontario. Good morning.
Thank you, Kevin Bean. Ralph.
What do you do, nephew?
What's
going on?
What it do?
Got a celebrity sighting Friday night. Me and my girlfriend go to the AMC Century 15 to see Fracture at like the last show, 10 o'clock.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Theater's packed. You know, we sit up top, second to last row. Only rows available are the front or the back. Guy and a girl come up. He's wearing a hat, pretty tall. I'm like, it looks like it's Demi and Ashton. But I wasn't exactly sure until they sat down directly behind us. I hear the girl saying, Ashton, Ashton, are there seats down low? So my girlfriend leans over. She's like, it's Demi and Ashton. I'm like, yeah, I know. So then, you know, later on, another guy comes and sits next to them, and he's talking to them. And then people are going up asking for autographs. But the third guy's like, no, no, you can't get an autograph, no pictures. This guy's, like, talking, you know, throughout the previews, making comments. So I turn to my girlfriend, I'm like, God, the publicist, the agent, keeps talking, you know. Right. Who the hell is this guy? After the movie, we leave in, and then, AMC, you got to, like, self-pay for parking before you go out.
Right.
At the stalls. I look over at the stall to see who's, like, you know, when I'm leaving, it's Bruce Willis standing next to me. And I turn to my girlfriend, I'm like, dude, did you know Bruce Willis was here, too? She's like, you idiot. He was the third guy sitting next to them in the movie.
He was the talker. His voice.
He was talking the whole time?
Yeah, he was the guy talking, making comments throughout the movie. It was Bruce Willis.
Huh.
She's like, how come you didn't know? I'm like, why would I be Bruce Willis? Why would he want to go out with his ex-wife and her boyfriend?
They hang out all the time.
Yeah, they're all friends.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
You should have known when he was watching the movie, he said, yippee-yay-ki-yay, mother effer.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call, Dave. You think the movie was as long as that story, Dave, Phil, by the way?
No.
We didn't have a chance to bring it up with Minnie Driver earlier today, but she was in a very nearly serious surfing accident over the weekend, and she looked up to see who the doofus was who was coming at her in the water, and it turned out that that was also Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is the one that practically knocked her off her board out there in the ocean this weekend.
He's everywhere.
I know. He's everywhere. It's crazy.
Let's go to Elazar and Carson. Good morning.
Hi. I'm calling, trying to see what's up with you guys. What's up, Kevin and Bean?
Hey, what's up, Shaq?
What's up with you?
What'd it do?
Hey,
I just wanted to talk about, I just wanted to see if you guys have seen the new Playboy issue with Anna Nicole on the cover.
She's on it again?
They did a tribute to her Playboy years. I have a subscription, so it's her on the cover, and they show the greatest hits
when
of her
she was
all
hot?
Photo shoots, yeah.
Anna!
You hold on.
Oh, man. I saw a list, by the way. Ralph, you've seen it too, I'm sure, of all the playmates that are dead. And, you know, she's the latest, but there's a lot of them. I'm not saying there's a curse or something.
I have not seen the list of dead playmates.
But I'm not saying there's a curse or something.
Don't assume I'm you.
Well, of course there's no curse.
I go researching the corpses of playmates.
But what I'm saying is, considering how young these women are when they're playmates, it's remarkable to me how many of them from the 70s, 80s, and 90s are already dead. That's what I'm saying. Just a surprise. And I don't know whether it has something to do with the lifestyle you live once you kind of get into the Playboy empire or not, but some of them burn out pretty fast. That's all I'm suggesting.
I've been researching dead playmates, Ralph, as I'm sure you have. And we all know about all the corpses that are strewn all over the Playboy mansion. I focus on the live ones, Bean. That's just me.
Yeah. I just didn't want to assume that I'd seen something about Playboy that you wouldn't have already seen, because you are the expert. You're the go-to guy when it comes to Playboy.
Well, when it comes to death, you're the go-to guy.
That's right.
So that's fine. All right, let's go to Nick. Good morning, Nick.
How dare you skip over Bob and Van Nuys, by the way? How dare you?
Ralph, I'm going to let you decide. Bean, are you excited about Buzz Aldrin's space lottery? Hey, there's a contest where you can be. Oh, never mind.
How's it going, Nick?
I'm fine. I'm great. I'm swell.
Now, Nick called us on Friday, which, of course, was 420, and high as a kite, apparently.
I didn't get high to Lear that day. I wasn't high in the morning.
That's not what I heard, by the way.
But Nick, you were trying to get through. We didn't have time to take your call, but you were trying to get through because you had a very exciting afternoon at the Virgin Megastore last week. What happened?
I did. I met Avril Lavigne.
Oh. Now, did you have the hots for Avril Lavigne?
Did you get a bell for Avril Lavigne? I think she's totally hot. She deserves a bell.
Under protest, I will give you a bell, and only because you asked for it.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
She's kind of dude-like Nick, don't you think?
Have you seen her lately?
Kind of duty?
Maybe the problem is she used to be duty, but you haven't seen her in a
She's
while.
She's not duty anymore.
She's way hot. I'm looking at a CD right now. She's hot.
Okay. Now, all right, so what happened?
You met her or what happened?
I waited like in line for 2 hours to meet her. It was like her old meet and greet thing. She signed my CD. I got so giddy. I got so excited.
You? You giddy and excited?
I came out completely. I asked her for a hug.
Of course you did. You're a hugger.
You asked her for a hug.
The security guards were like, no. But she was nice. She gave me a high five instead.
That's because she was scared of you.
She was really cool.
You got to remember, though, Nick, ever since Borat kidnapped Pam Anderson at her in-store signing, you got to be very careful. You can't really let people touch the people who are there signing.
I kept thinking about that. I didn't want to do that. That's bad. That's very, very bad.
Okay, but... Okay.
Yeah. But you shouldn't kidnap people. That is bad.
But you asked for a hug.
I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was cool. She was nice. She wasn't all like, ew, no. She was nice.
Here's the email I got from Nick, by the way. He couldn't stop but write when he got back from Avril. Sometimes I'm dark, moody, and not that much fun. However, when I met Avril Lavigne, that guy, that crazy, goofy, loud-talking, hug-happy mother effer, he totally came out when I met Avril.
He came out, did he?
He did.
Yeah, because I know usually you're pretty surly and
very
sort of dark and like a tortured artist type.
That's my home life. I'm like a comedian who's like funny to the rest of the world, but in private, like all tortured and stuff.
Oh, you're the crying on the inside kind of clown.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Nick, let me ask you this, because a lot of people, you go to all the trouble to show up at an in-store and stand in line for 2 hours, and you had a lot of time to think about what you were going to say. What was your move? I mean, what kind of impact did you try to make in the brief time you had with Miss Lavigne?
I didn't have any move. I just thought, okay, I'll go there, whatever happens, and then, I just got totally giddy when I saw her,
Do you want a hug?
It just came out. It wasn't really planned. It just came out,
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you need to pre-plan things, Nick.
I know, but it's like, it was just in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Don't beat down his childish enthusiasm. I'm with Nick on this. I think just let it fly.
I love her. I sent my email. She's like a hot rock and roll fairy. She looks like a fairy.
She's a hot rock and roll fairy.
She was thinking as the same thing about you, Nick.
Did she say, hey, you, I don't like your girlfriend?
No, Nick would have to have a girlfriend for her to say that.
Yeah. Her song was written in seventh grade, apparently.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Yeah.
Cool.
Glad you had a good time. Okay.
All right, bye now.
I like the moody, mysterious Nick better.
I've never met that Nick.
Oh, yeah. He's like a young Jim Morrison.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Avril Lavigne, I'm a window licker. All right, I want to thank all of our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Minnie Driver, very talented actress on the show called The Riches, with a new episode tonight at 10 on FX. Also, thanks to actor Santiago Cabrera. He is on Heroes, of course. He's the crazy hero and painter on Heroes tonight with a new episode at 9 on NBC. And thanks to all of the other hero stars that made themselves available to Psycho Mike on the red carpet last week. We played those interviews today. Very excited about the new season starting tonight.
Not interviews as much as just self-love. Yeah. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Doug Kriegel from Channel 4 takes a look at the rain on Friday.
That sure is wet outside.
Spectacular.
Rain just falling from the skies. Water is coming from clouds.
Channel 4 had to be so happy have some rain for the first time this year to talk about.
Psycho Mike wants to be gay. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Lakers are in the playoffs. We'll talk to James Worthy. We've got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have funny man D.L. Hughley and Coachella tickets all tomorrow morning.
I think Kobe could have used some James Worthy assistance yesterday in that second half of the Suns game, don't you? It's about time to bring Worthy out of the booth, maybe. Get him back out on the floor the way things are going.
We'll ask him tomorrow.
All right, Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. New music from Army of Me will be included. Also some Blink 182, Red Hot Chili Peppers, White Stripes, Beastie Boys, Johnny Cash, yes, and more coming up straight ahead here on K-Rock.